And things like this are becoming a lot.
The FAA reports that since 2004, laser incidents across the U.S. have shot from an average of only a few hundred a year to more than 3,000 as of October alone. In 2012, a JetBlue pilot was temporarily blinded while preparing to land at Kennedy International Airport. Then there was the prankster arrested in San Francisco after repeatedly shining a green and red laser at a local news conference. And now the problem is so glaring, the FBI recently announced it's launching an anti-terror task force to combat laser-pointing
incidents.
This holiday season, personal Starbucks signature holiday beverages are here to share joy with one and all. Put a Starbucks handcrafted peppermint mocha, caramel brulee, latte, or gingerbread latte on your holiday to-do list. Make all your holiday errands a little more joyful. Get your favorite flavor of the season at Starbucks today.
Valley Marketplace, South Avenue in Gordon, and it's something fresh, fresh, and fun. The Valley Market, South Avenue, south of the Georgetown.
I really appreciate how much people rely on me. I know the service is important. That's why I also serve in the Coast Guard Reserve. In the Coast Guard Reserve, our crews respond to rising floodwaters in the Midwest, oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, and disasters like the Haiti earthquake. The Coast Guard Reserve is a talent I gladly serve, because my country needs it. It has a lot in common with my full-time career. And just like other first responders, firemen, police officers, we do our best work when things are their worst. I have no doubt I was born here.
You were born ready to get 4 years old. The Coast Guard Reserve is ready for you. Learn more at CoastGuard.com.
Also, for the United States, this time class meeting the Ohio Association of Broadcasting Institutes.
Have you been thinking that the stock market and 401k aren't what they're cracked up to be? Listen to Straight Talk Wells with David Goldman every Saturday at 11 a.m.
Show that stimulates your mind and gets you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and conversation going. Call Dr. Tracy and Friends at 313-455-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. How are you? Good afternoon, good afternoon. Hope you're enjoying your lunch. Just a little break. Hope you're getting ready to do. And ready to talk. 330-781-9600 is the local number. Here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. And on our unlimited internet line. 1-347-945-5229. And we're going to talk about what's on your nine. That's our unlimited internet line. And we are on iHeartRadio at WSOM 600 AM. We're on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And we're also at TracyandFriends.com online. So you can talk to us from anywhere in the world. Tell somebody. Well, let's talk about it. Trying to come to some conclusions of. Well, yesterday I had my sister,
who is also a minister and in our Pentecostal belief, a prophetess. We're Pentecostals. We're not mainline, main staple churches. We're more evangelical, and we believe in the whole Bible. We believe everything about the Bible, including that certain things are no more because Jesus Christ, who we believe in as the Savior, fulfilled them. I made a really kind of not fully explained charge because I was talking about the Catholic Church, which I still hold to saying right now that the original Catholic Church, when they had the Crusades, one, when they had the where the bishops had armies and which where you get your chessboard from type of situation. They had armies and they were fighting each other and they were fighting for land. They were fighting for different types of things. These were not Christian-oriented things. So I'm trying to say this, that the original beginning of that particular situation, the church, was not the Catholic Church. The original church was in North Africa, and you can see that in the Bible, and it had nothing to do with Rome. It had nothing to do with Constantine, and it had nothing to do with those particular people. What I can tell you is this. If something does not follow what the New Testament tells you is the mark of a Christian, what Jesus said, it is not Christianity. Christianity is not like radical Islam, where they force you to believe in them or say you believe in them or they cut your head off or kill you. That's not God. He will not force you to do anything that you want. He wants you to choose him because that's why he created us, to have fellowship with him. Now, I believe that those that are in the Catholic Church today and throughout much of time, I believe they are Christians because they believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I don't believe in the original system, nor do I believe in how they paganized the holidays of Christianity or Judaism. Now, I heard somebody try to explain today that that was because they were trying to get all the other pagans to convert to Christianity, so they made them feel welcome. They made them feel welcome about their, you know, by keeping their holidays and turning their pagan holidays into Christian holidays. That wasn't the case. I'm sorry. Was not the case. It was the case that they could not destroy the Christians in the first place, and so they continued to try to control them. And they finally did by co-opting the church and creating their own religious system. They also had had a meeting at Nicaea where they decided which books were going to be allowed in the Bible and which books were not going to be allowed in the Bible. And just at that, you see that the ones that actually explained the history of things that happened were not left in the book. The book of Jasher, which will give you history and side notes to some of the other books. The book of Enoch, which Enoch explains the things that were going on at the time of Noah. the book of the Maccabees. It also gave you a history, let you know. Jasher will tell you why Sodom and Gomorrah was actually destroyed, as I have some friends of mine that think it's because they didn't give to the poor. Now, these are ministers. These are downright down and dirty ministers. I shouldn't say down and dirty because they're not dirty. And they're legitimate people. They love the Lord. But they are in error not knowing history and the true history of church, not knowing true history of the Judeo-Christian movement. Because us as Christians, as New Testament Christians, believe that we are believing in the same God of the Jews. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this only because I don't, you know, well, I'm not going to say and I'm not going to discuss it, but I am going to say I'm not going to bicker about this, but I'm just going to tell you there's history that you don't know because you don't, nobody's told you this, and you won't dig it up because you don't know to. You don't know that there's a book of Jasher and a book of Enoch or what's in it. But I'm telling you that there are other books of the Bible that they purposely did not put in there because they know good and doggone well that if you knew this information, you would say, oh, you start questioning other things. Now, with the pomp and circumstance of the church is beautiful. The people are beautiful people that believe that are believers, because you get nasty people in any kind of a church. So I'm not going to call that either. I believe that my brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church that are believers are my brother and sister in Christ. Do I think that their system is correct? No. But at least they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Not an angel, not the brother of Satan, not another created being. God was not a created being. He was and always was and always will be. What that means, I don't know, but we're here as a result. We're here and we have this thing we call life. And when we have this thing called life, we need to make things better around us and with what we're doing. My sister is world-renowned for what she does. It's okay if you challenge her, it's fine, because it's not going to stop her from being world-renowned. She's still going to get on a jet and travel from place to place, country to country, and do what she does, because people know who she is and what she does. My sister-in-law as well. My pastor. And I'm going to give a little testimony for you people today. Nobody can tell, can do the future or tell certain things. A few years ago, there was a young lady that was killed in the Columbine shootings in Colorado. And one of the guys put a gun to this young lady's head and said, "Do you denounce your Christian faith?" And she said, "Of course I don't. No." And he blew her head off. The father, who was a salesman for a Fortune 100 company, grieving heavily, and they showed him on TV. Now, right here in Youngstown, there's a pastor. And maybe some of you know him before Christ or after Christ. It doesn't matter. You need to know him after Christ. His name is Frank Amedia, who is a prophet. You have to understand, we believe in following the Spirit of God, and there's nothing withheld from the Spirit of God. He doesn't share everything about everybody to prophets, but he can share a lot and will at times. This is the story. And you can check this story out by looking the man up and seeing what he says. Our pastor saw him, and this Pastor Frank was not my pastor at that time, but he saw the gentleman on TV at the funeral services, and he felt that he needed to get in touch with him, and he needed to pray with him. Well, before he did get in touch with him, he had a dream where he dreamed about that there was, he saw the daughter crying, and as her tears fell out of her eyes, she saw them turning to black, and they were hitting something, but he could not see what it was that the tears were hitting. Now, this girl was a young, saved young lady, Christian girl, believed in the Lord. Not just any God, not just a generic God, but the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this one last thing, and I'll tell you the story. Pastor Frank called him. They prayed, and he told the man, he said, "Sir, I'm seeing something. I saw it in a dream." He said, "I saw your daughter crying, and as she was crying, her tears were hitting something." And not only that, you're questioning God about what you need to do next, and God said, go with what he told you to do. Now, Pastor Frank did not know what the man prayed to God. He did not know what he was saying to the man, except that he was saying what he knew the Spirit was saying to him. Understand, this is not just spookiness, and we're going to get off of this in a minute. The man said, I don't know what it means either. He says, well, let me know if you ever run across that. And they hung up the phone after my pastor had prayed with him and offered things for him. 2 weeks later, they delivered the final effects from the school to the father of his daughter, which was her book bag. As he opened her book bag, she kept a journal, and in her journal she used to draw. And in the last page of the journal, there was a picture. And that picture was a picture of herself crying, and her tears were turning to black, and they were hitting at the bottom of the page a columbine flower. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a true story. He called the pastor back and told him what it was, and that he had decided he was getting ready to go and minister to the youth of the world because of that. He quit his Fortune 100 job that they had given him several promotions on and went out and ministered. Now he has the largest ministry to youth in the world. My point is this. How did my pastor know and could tell that not only did this man need to make a decision to start this ministry, but not only that, but that his daughter...
Let's talk for a moment.
But that his daughter had been drawn this picture, and that that's how he got peace and knew what to do in his next move in life. See, I know God. I don't doubt him. I'm not telling you I'm the best person in the world. I'm not. But I believe God. And I know one thing, that just as I sit here, never should have made it past the age of 6 years old, as they said, because I was so sick with asthma when I was a child. And all the miracles that followed my life. Everybody doesn't get what I got. I had some very fortunate things happen to me. And it's because of the purpose of God only. If it's for me to be on the radio today to tell somebody, listen, quit with this craziness that you think that you are saying and get in it. And if you don't believe what some minister did because you saw him do something wrong, go to God and say, God, I need to know you for myself. I need to really, if I don't know that you're there, please show me that you're there. And then please communicate with me. I guarantee you he will do it. That's all I can say to you about that. This is not fake. This is not something that we just do for no reason. If you believe in God, then stand up and believe in him. If you don't, then leave it alone. Why are we just trying to destroy Christmas in America? Why is it that we have to attack whenever somebody has a Ten Commandments up there? Hey, if you're doing the Bible, if you don't believe it, what's it bothering you for? That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. I don't believe in Islam. But when I see the moon and the crescent, I don't call somebody and tell them they need to take that sign down. When I see the sign of Satan, I would like for them to take that down because I hate that many of our children are getting involved with this because they're finding a small amount of power in worshiping the devil through music, through incantations, through all kind of things. Oh, yeah, I'd like that to go down, but you don't see me going out there or you don't see too many other Christians doing it. We protest things like abortion because you're killing potential life, a potential next person that shows us how to go out in outer space and get things to help the earth with. The next person that could be there to find a cure for cancer or AIDS or anything, one other thing. You're destroying that potential when you destroy that person. My father's a lawyer. He helped many things happen here. He did a lot of things in the civil rights movement. But guess what? In 1923, his mother abandoned him in a railroad station, mother or father. Nice clothes. Nice bassinet thing that he was in, whatever they called it back then, with a note that said, take care of my father. Guess what? For those who like me, I'm here. Okay. For those that don't, maybe you could care less. But I'm here. My sister's here. My brother's passed on, but his kids are here. All of our kids are here, and they're doing things in the earth. And they're making a difference in lives. All life has reason. All life has purpose. There's a reason why you were born, even where you were born at, even whatever circumstances you were born under. God makes no mistakes. There's plenty enough room on the earth. There's plenty enough resources on the earth. But there's plenty enough foolish thinking to think that we don't know how to manage this or figure out a way to desalinate water so we can use it where we don't have a lot of fresh water. Because of greed in many cases, but because of power struggle. Because just as there is a God, there is a spirit called the devil as well. And that devil does not want you to have anything because in our belief in the Bible, he used to own the earth. God destroyed his kingdom and him, but his spirit is there. He tried to cause man to go through all the stuff he goes through, and every bit of suffering, every bit of corruption, every bit of nastiness happened with him and those that he rebelled in heaven against. Because what you're in the middle of is you're in rebellion here on earth of somebody that was kicked out of heaven and can't go back ever. That's deep. But here we go. I'm done. I'm done with that. But afternoon with Tracy and friends, I want you to think about what I said. If you want to question me, give me a call here, 330-781-9600. 1-347-945-5229. As a side note here, I'll start out with something else. I watched the big speech today over at the services for Mr. Mandela. Not too bad of a speech. Not too bad. But it had nothing to do with what the values and things of the South African people were in many instances, because, of course, they do not believe in homosexuality. Not at all. They do not believe in certain things, and they said they're not going to have anything to do with it. So I want you to tell me what you're thinking about here. But the funny moment that I saw was that at the end of the speech, mostly everybody had stood up and was clapping for the president. President Bush, was standing up just behind a seated Bill Clinton. and Clinton looked over at toward the podium where President Obama was, and hit Clinton on his back like as if to say, "Well, come on, get up." I know he was joking with him, but man, Clinton turned around and he mouthed something to him, and I know it was. I mean, Bush was cracking up. Okay. Bush knew that he had gotten Clinton's goat, but it looked like to me that I'm just saying, I'm not standing for it, because he shook his head no, and he said, "I'm not standing for it." And then I couldn't say what he said was the last note, and he turned halfway back around and then turned and said something else to him, and it was cracking up. Let me tell you like this, they were hilarious. Now, I don't know who else saw that, but I saw it. And I'm sure you'll be able to see that in the shots that were taken, you know, out there. So we'll see whether anybody gives that attention, in the next coming days. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. If you want to talk to me, hit the one on your dial there, or give me a call at 1-347-945-5229. Well, let me see if I'm close enough now to do something else. Yeah, we're going to do this right here, and we'll be right back.
Old Concord in 1775. This great country was founded on personal freedom and the private ownership of firearms. In keeping with that tradition, National Armory is working hard to support your Second Amendment rights. Visit National Armory, now at the old Buckeye Firearms location, in Streetsboro, Austintown, and Rogers, or online at national-armory.com. National Armory. Shoot. Hunt. Train.
Everyone is talking about the Humane Society of Columbiana County Animal Resource Complex, located at 721 East Pigeon Road in Salem. It's 6,000 square feet of climate-controlled space with rubberized comfort flooring where you and your pet can play, learn, and socialize. Operated by the Humane Society of Columbiana County, the complex also offers interactive pet toys, pet treats, fun t-shirts for the humans on your shopping list, and private and party appointments available for you and your friends, furry or otherwise. Gift certificates are a great choice and also available. Stop by the Humane Society Animal Resource Complex 7 days a week or call 330-332-8622 for more information. The Humane Society of Columbiana County Animal Resource Complex at 721 East Pigeon Road in Salem. The place where your pets get to play and you learn to sit. Visit our website, columbianahumane.org.
Chances are your furnace isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling knows you shouldn't pay more when your furnace breaks after 5 p.m. or on a weekend. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price, day or night. Weekends, too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now, 330-637-1911, or ainsleyhtg.com.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and friends. I have on my dial 330-614. You're in the air.
Hey, Jeff, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, so I'm in a nice sound sleep this morning, right? And and I had a little bit of a nightmare earlier in the night, but so all of a sudden at about I don't know what time it was, I want to say 6:45, I all of a sudden hear Obama's voice, and I flip out like a waking dream, and I look at the TV that my wife just turned on, and there he is. I can't get away from this guy. He's just giving his speech. It sounded great. He had all the cathedral sounds and all that fun stuff that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to part of it, and I noticed that, of course, it went, and he's talking about himself more than anything and trying to make a comparison like he's Nelson Mandela. And
yeah,
then,
he did it, and I did it too.
Then I hear on the radio while I'm working, I hear on the radio that Obama took a selfie of himself, and somebody took a picture of him taking a selfie of himself, right, with some other dignitaries with a big old smile on his face at Nelson Mandela's funeral. So I had to go look. I put it on your website. Sure as heck, the man is acting like a teenager, taking a selfie of himself. The president, the POTUS, the statesman, the guy who got a Nobel Peace Prize for bringing the world together, a selfie. Big old smile on his face,
which is so hilarious.
How do these people? How do you defend this man? I mean, every time he's going out of the country to go and represent America as the president, as one of the highest offices and most respected offices the world has ever seen, he pulls this every single time. How does he get away with it?
The ones that have not, well, first of all, he owns the press, which, of course, is against the law. Okay? This is really, really something that he can tell them to come to the White House. Don't be critical of me anymore. Just do what I'm telling you. Just do what I'm telling you. Okay, and they go back out and they give you all these positive things about Obamacare, and they don't report the news on it that is getting ready to kill people. And so you're sitting up here with a somebody's trying to call me, but then they hung. Okay, call back, local caller. I just picked you up. You see this craziness going on now. He can do whatever he wants to do because the press is going to be replete in it, and the American people aren't going to think far enough ahead because they're just trying to make it, and it's almost like, oh, it can't be all that bad. And I don't understand it. I'm just flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted with – go ahead.
There's almost nothing you can say when all of this all of this, I'd say press is the wrong word. When all of these things come out about Obama, it's either denied or it's he didn't meet. Even when he says something, it is explained away, and it's so cut and dry, like that you can keep your doctor and your hospital, period. Listen, if you listen to the speech in its entirety, it's on YouTube. You can go look at it in its entirety. He didn't say anything after period. He didn't try to explain what he just said. And they've tried to come out and say that the Fox News or something to that effect cuts off the video right after he says period, like he explained what he meant. He never explained what he meant. And they just keep on covering and covering without realizing. I mean, maybe the press can get away with it because, of course, they're being bought off and they'll be taken care of. But the people listening don't even bother to go and research it and understand. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
You're frustrated, Doc, because you, like I, like the truth. You want the truth to be said and you want the truth to be told, and you're not getting it. What in the world is going on here? My phone lines is acting crazy. You're not going to get it from this administration because for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe that's why they closed off some of his medical records, because the man is a habitual serial liar. They said Bush lied about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which is so stupid. If anybody just look at why you went to Iraq, okay? You had a guy that at that time had the second largest oil supply in the world, who had been in a 10-year war with the guy that had the third largest oil supply in the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were trying to stop the one with the third largest oil supply from taking over the one with the second largest oil supply because he got mad at you because you stopped him from invading another country. So it's like, and then he's going to take his oil and sell it on a different economy after you built this country for him. Well, mm-hmm. No, your agreements aren't up yet, and you haven't paid back the money that we invested to put you together.
Well,
okay,
and let's not forget too, Jeff, that the Democrats were screaming for Bush to go in to Iraq. They were saying we have to do something about this dictator, and it's all over the place. You can research that all you want; it's there. They were screaming.
Yeah, but wait. Because I'm sick and tired of you saying that Democrat did this. What about Republican? Republican didn't do anything?
It was a mistake.
I believe it was a mistake. You don't believe
okay.
It was a mistake? A lot of Americans do believe it was a mistake. You don't, and that's your opinion. But a lot of people believe it's not.
The only reason why you believe it's...
Wait. Second of all, I want to come back to what he said. You don't like Obama. And the other caller who's on the line, I think it's Mark. I don't remember. You don't like Obama also. Matt. You don't like Obama. Other people do. Mm-hmm. I do. So that's why you're saying it's the same thing that you there's some leaders that maybe you like that I don't like. I don't like Reagan. You did. I'm sure you did. And you were
No, whoa. Don't put that on me. I did not like Ronald Reagan.
I didn't say you. I said maybe there are certain leaders you like that I don't. And I'm not going to belittle a president that's basically doing his speech. You know why people love him? Because they believe in his hope. You know why people love him? Because they are happy to have a president that basically talks about hope, talks about different things. That's why people love him. And that's why a lot of people could – wait. That's why a lot of people – you maybe don't respect it, but respect other people that do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that other people are liking this guy. I'm like,
okay,
why?
Stanley,
you don't like him.
Let me rebut for one moment. Number one, he told people, and please don't interrupt me. I'm going to go through this real quick. He told people that we would be out of Iraq and Afghanistan within the first 4 years of his presidency. didn't happen. He said,
"Okay, wait. Let's stop one point at a time.
He doesn't want to go one point at a time.
Well, he can reiterate anything. I want him to go one point at a time and explain. Yes, he promised
that. Yeah, but
that.
You didn't.
And
you,
what
you,
happened?
You ran two points straight down yourself. So let him talk.
Go ahead.
Where, Matt?
He said that we would be out of Guantanamo Bay. That's still mm-hmm. open. He said mm-hmm. that as far as Obamacare and all that other happy horse stuff, that mm-hmm. it would be under the $2,500 limit. He said that you mm-hmm. wouldn't lose your insurance and you could keep your doctor. That was a lie too. He mm-hmm. said, "Let's go." There's so many. Holy cow. He continually would you could see how he would get caught up with his thing and the first thing he would go to is attack Bush and say that it was the Bush administration, and he would say that if I don't have these things fixed in the matter of 4 years, then I'll be a one-term president. Well, he should have been a one-term president. That was a lie too, because he had no intention mm-hmm. of taking any responsibility for what had happened. So it's lie upon lie upon lie upon lie.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to see a truth. I don't like liars, Dan.
So where? Okay, let's go one step at a time and everything. He promised the Iraq war that we go that. So are still people still there? The army still
yes.
there?
Yes. Oh yes.
Okay.
And dying,
wait. Less than before or more than before?
There's less than before.
Okay. So what's the problem? And didn't he say they promised a certain year that there was not going to be any more? Didn't he say that?
He said that
yes
there
no.
would be a complete troop withdrawal.
Yeah,
yes.
They didn't say 2014, that I don't remember the day that he was going to take out the whole thing? Yes or no?
Oh, the whole thing was supposed to be out, absolutely.
Yeah,
no.
Didn't he say that after he first of all cut, there was less people there, first of all, number one. Number two, he said after that date that there wouldn't be any people.
Okay, well, you take one person out. That's
no, I don't take one person. I take exactly what he said. Because you have tendency of believing that just because I say, let's say I'm in a position, and I go in the position, I promise you this and that, and that doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, suddenly you're a liar. You're not a liar. He didn't lie
Stanley, stop.
No, that's what he said. He said that if he would have not promised perfectly the way he would have done it, then suddenly you would have said, oh, he's not a liar. Every politician, you think they promise everything to the letter? Name one that promised everything to the letter, and when they go in power, they don't say, whoa, I didn't know this was happening and this was happening. You think that a senator doesn't know the same information as the president of the United States when he goes in power and they tell them all this that's happening? You think that we don't know about those things, that he knew everything and it was all his fault that he couldn't promise everything that he tried the best that he could at that moment. And I'm sorry to say, Matt, you wouldn't do better.
Oh, yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. You know what, Stanley? No, don't say that because of this. Okay, you don't take into consideration what the hell it means when somebody says, I'm going to fundamentally change America, one. And number two, you don't take when somebody says, I'm going to redistribute the wealth. Do you really know what that entails to do? What
yes,
you have to...
Yes, I know what he entails
Stanley,
to do.
Stanley, take the last one and tell me what it entails.
Well, the redistribution is basically taking from the rich and giving it to the poor.
Wait,
let me finish what you're saying. He has more mentality, and I believe the same mentality. He believed that the economy starts from the bottom and it goes to the top. You have more philosophy that it starts from the top, that basically who are the people responsible for the economy? He believes, compared to Reagan, who believes that the economy starts from the top. If you give it more to the rich, less tax, less things like that to the rich, it will basically trickle down to the poor, and poor people will, and it will build jobs and things like that. He doesn't believe that philosophy. I don't. I believe the philosophy is...
You know why?
Go ahead.
No, wait. You're going to get your chance to get yours in. Once again, here we go with the foolishness. Now, he doesn't believe it, but in 5 years he hasn't been able to get this economy to move at all, right? And what rich people are going to let you take their money? Why is the income gap at, in the last 5 years, widened up under President Obama's rulings and things that he's done. When you tell me why it's widened, and if it's so right to try to take from the rich, which you're not going to do, you're going to take from the middle class rich, and that's what's happening because the middle class is shrinking because of these foolish policies. He killed energy. He killed coal in this country. He was trying to kill oil, but he couldn't do it because all the permits that, that Bush had put in the, place went ahead. But he said, in my way of doing things, that your electric rate needs must skyrocket. Why?
Yeah, okay, fine. You believe in that. I don't believe that.
I believe in
you
what?
You believe in the economy. Like I said, you believe in the trickle-down economy. You believe
I believe in a business economy because guess what?
What happened to your business economy? How come there's so much? Since Reagan came in power and everything, and I could bring you the stats. You know I could. I just have to go to inequality.org, and you could see the stat on your own. There's more inequality since Reagan came in because of the Reagan economic.
There's
1%. You want to go with stat? Let's go with stat. I'll take the stat any day of the week with you.
Who's faithfully made...
We got to go. I'll be right back.
Thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful...
Thank you.
Hey, Stanley.
Hey,
Matt. What's going on?
Not much. But I'm sick and tired of you Republican acting like, oh, Reaganomics did a great thing. It didn't. Go to inequality.org. Go to the website, and they'll show you the difference between since Reagan came in, since you believe the trickle-down economy, since you believe that we should cut the rich and everything. Look at the gap, and they show
Stanley,
you.
Stanley, first of all, I'm not a Republican, again. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative, and I'll vote for a Democrat. As a matter of fact,
for a conservative, who's your mandate for a conservative? Reagan. So go there
tell me. Yeah. It is, because Reagan pulled us out of a deep, deep, depression as what Carter would have was going to have us in. So between doing that and then dealing with a possible
total inequality that we have in our United States, total. I'm not talking partial. Total inequality. And there's stats that says it. Total.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Total inequality between the top 1% and the bottom. Total inequality. I think it's over 300 or 400% difference. And the only country that's worse than us, as I think it's one of those countries, I don't remember what it is, it's like those third world countries. That's how bad it is compared to the rest of the country of the world. That's how bad it is in inequality here.
Quality? What are you talking about?
Inequality. That means 90% of the money that you have goes to the top 1%. 10% goes to the rest. That's like the question of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been proven by stats. It's been proven by salary. It's been proven by many graphs. It's been proven by economists. Go to inequality.com. If you don't believe me, go there and check it out.
Now, let me ask you a question, Stan. When you look at Obama's policies, okay, and you realize where a lot of his policies are geared towards, and I understand your disdain for the top 1%. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I understand your disdain for the top 1%. But look at Obama's policies and where a lot of his tax policies and like with this health care thing, look at who benefits from his policies. It isn't the rich or it isn't the poor or the middle class. That's for sure. It happens to be these big corporations. He's a fascist. That's what fascism does. Government supporting big corporations in trade for favors and power.
No, government is there to basically be the only voice against big corporation. Because if you take out government, tomorrow, let's take out government, and trust me not, you would not love to be in the United States. If tomorrow you would say, let's cut all the policy, let's cut having that people have, let's say, the minimum salary, and say, it's on your own, it's the business. Trust me not. Corporation would just take over everything, and you wouldn't be happy.
I never said take government out of it.
I dare you to do that. What is it?
I don't think Stan, listen, you're getting too pissed off right now. Listen to me. I'm not against government. I'm against big government. I'm against overreaching government.
How come you're not against big corporation?
Because big corporation, if government was acting appropriately the way it was set up by our founders in the Constitution, government controls corporate greed, and corporate greed controls itself through the free market system. Stanley, until the 1930s, when FDR started getting all of these government programs going through and giving corporations the open door to come on in and dictate themselves. That was FDR's fault.
Well, you could kind of rewind a little bit further than that.
And we're back for the next 7 minutes. We're discussing now the difference in economic things that go on, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to bring something to somebody's memory. Detroit has gone bankrupt because of thinking like what you're hearing right now.
Good grief.
Nothing at all. Nothing is being said about why Detroit is bankrupt. They're bankrupt because they kept on giving more and more money to workers, and those people retired and were getting large pensions because of the strength of the union. Not that those things weren't negotiated, they were. But a lot of times union contracts are negotiated with no sense of that we can have a downturn and the doggone money that we pay out in salaries is taxpayer driven. This is why we have the mess we have, because of this kind of crazy thinking. So I'm going to bring the people back up, and I have several people waiting to talk here. So I'm going to stay with Stanley and Matt for a second, then I'm going to bring in Alabama. No, I got an unlisted number there if they want to speak.
I think you are.
And then I have Alabama going to be able to come in here in just a minute. So go ahead, Stanley. Go ahead. Talk to me.
Well, there's nothing to talk. You have a different philosophy. I don't see it that way. I've told you, the Reagan economy basically brought the biggest wide gap that we have in equality in America.
What did Reagan do to cause that to happen?
Basically, he had the philosophy, give less tax to the poor, less
was
tax
not
to the rich. What's the Reagan economy? Is it not tax less the rich because they're the creator of a job, and if it isn't for the rich and everything?
Yeah, it's not tax less the risk. You don't tax business a certain way, and you let the job create.
What is it? Exactly, they're the job creator.
The job creator creates jobs. Now,
exactly.
The only
is
time
it true? Is it true? Is it
is
true?
Absolutely true. Absolutely,
so
historically.
So if it's true, Jeff, how come we have the widest gap between the 1% and the bottom?
Because you have
the
people,
widest of the world. I'm sorry to say.
Stanley,
no,
ask,
of the world. Go
ask
ahead.
A question and let it
answer.
Go. Matt, you
go
want
ahead.
That?
Well, actually, I was just going to interject real quick that Reagan is not guilty of not raising taxes because he actually did. All right. That's
absolutely
all I had to say. Go ahead.
Not only did
so
he raise
taxes, but he's
– go ahead.
I was just going to say, so, you know, when you start saying Reagan, you know, did this, that, and the other thing, he actually did raise taxes. And if you're going to complain about an economic downturn, which did occur and then came back up, you really have to start researching what Reagan did at the time. That's all.
And I don't mind, because guess what? The black middle class expanded drastically up under Reagan. And I don't know what they're talking about the gap getting bigger. Rich people make their money work for them. We started entering a global economy at the time of Reagan, okay? Bush won and Reagan. So now, that's why your money's and your gap is getting bigger, because these people can do business all over the world while you can't do nothing but go to work here for a job, because that's all you know. Now, that's why the wealth gap is spreading. Now, they have money to invest. Go ahead, Alabama.
Yeah, Jeff, yesterday I wanted to talk, but you muted me the whole last hour, man. It's like after you muted,
I didn't think you were muted. I'm sorry.
I kept hitting one. I called back. I hit one. You never unmuted me.
I apologize, man. It wasn't on purpose.
After the hour, I was like, man. Anyway.
Man, it wasn't on purpose.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, but the thing is with economics, like, I feel as though it's clear which ones work and which ones don't, which policies work, which policies don't. I think Reagan, when he passed them, I think, what was it, August 1983, it's like 1.1 million jobs, people hired. It's like a lot of business owners started hiring when they saw some stability come through.
Right.
And 1 million jobs, the most we ever had in 1 month ever, came into the economy. So, I mean, the Keynesian economics that Stanley's pushing is going to, you know, destroy the country in the long run. So, and
but
I think
we're about to go to break here, Stanley, so you can't get fired up. So we're going to carry that on the other side. That was an excellent point.
Get the mic over.
And we will be right back. I'll let you all talk in the chat room.
Hey, you go to the bathroom.
What's up, Alabama?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? What's happening?
Nothing much. Go ahead, Stanley.
No, but so if you're saying that's the case, you still didn't answer the question. Why do we have the biggest – and by the way, other countries don't have that biggest gap. And I'm talking
because,
about – Because,
well, first of all –
Wait, I'm talking about other countries
do have a big gap.
No, they don't.
Countries.
They don't have the biggest gap as compared
maybe
to us.
Maybe
so.
Well, Stanley.
They don't.
Well,
I have the stats in front of me.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you on that. What I'm saying is ultimately – when you look at the level of cost of living and what people have in America as far as pertaining to other countries, it's far ahead of any other country.
Compared to what countries? You know what? In every country, just about except for maybe the social democracies in Europe, you have a super wealthy elite. Even in India, where there's droves and droves of poor people, there is a super rich, wealthy elite.
In Russia, too. In Russia, communist, socialist society, too, yeah. But what I'm saying is the quality of life for blacks in America is we're the wealthiest black people on the planet. So I'm just saying, when you talk about the gap, America is the richest country in the world, so it stands to reason that it would correlate, but it's not just because lowering taxes doesn't work. That's a real simple answer to complex.
In order for there to be rich people, there has to be poor.
Hold on. When you say take advantage of someone, you have to be careful I've had people say when I was doing houses, people would say I took advantage of them because I had a guy come say he's going to do some work for $5,000. I gave him $5,000. He got into the work. Man, it's more work than I expected. I say, but you agreed to do it for that price. He finds out later that I got like $50,000 coming in. He got upset. You made a fool. I'm like, I ain't made a fool. You could have said 10.
That's
business.
That's one instance, and that is business. If I hire someone to do work for me, okay, let's just look at a temporary agency, okay? Because a temporary agency makes it real simple. A temporary agency gets a pool of employees, approved workers, and they hire them out, and they may hire them out at $20 an hour, and the temporary agency may pay them $10 an hour. So, you know, I guess that you call that business, but it is people with money taking advantage of people without money.
When you work a company and they make a profit.
Hold on. I've been taken advantage of until I've been in the position that I can take advantage of people. So everybody that
makes a profit off other people is taking advantage of them.
That's a real broad general statement that I'm not going to agree with.
But $10 an hour off someone working is not bad.
But people make money off of people. I just wanted to agree with Stanley earlier. because no one seems to be agreeing with them. Because this the nature of this show. But trickle down trickle down economics does not work. It's proven it doesn't work.
I disagree.
Hold on, hold on a second. Let me say this one thing. I'm not going to dominate this whole thing. Right now, you have
really. Go ahead.
I'm going to try not to. How about that?
Go ahead,
I'm mindful of it. No. You've got companies now whose profits and the stock market is soaring. Their worth is that much more, and there's not mass hiring. There's slow hiring. So you have
Hold on, Stanley. Let me finish.
You've got companies that are making more money now than they ever have, and it hasn't affected their economy as far as unemployment in a large scale.
Well, let me ask you this. Why would you hire, if you're making profits, why would you hire people just for hiring sake?
Hold on a second.
People when needed.
Hold on. If trickle
because
down
you want to make more profit.
Works,
because it's all about profit.
Yeah, because it's greed.
Stanley, there's nothing wrong with making profit. Unless
yeah,
you,
but
that's
there's,
not
there's
it,
nothing
okay?
wrong with
the
you.
When you're greed, when it affects society.
I can't hear somebody's phone messed up, man.
I'm wondering if Stanley hung up. And Stan, are you still there?
No, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know. Somebody must have hung up.
I'm still. Can you hear me?
I don't
yeah,
see anything
you
to make with profits. I think that's the problem. People get jealous and covet people that make money. I don't have a problem.
We're not jealous
it.
Of covet people, but when you
Stanley,
have
you're very jealous of people that have money. Just
no,
Stanley,
no,
you still
no,
assume
no.
whatever you assume because Stanley,
no,
what you
no.
do is you assume the
I'm
heart.
I'm not jealous about people like that.
Stanley, you can't tell people's motives and intentions of their heart just because they make money. That's what you try to do.
No,
what
but
time?
I can't
you
tell that
you
no, I'm not jealous. You go ahead, make the money that you need, but do it fairly. Don't do it like saying,
well, who are you? Who are you, Stanley?
Wait,
who are you to say what's fair, Stanley?
Well,
by your standards? By your standards, right?
Fair here. It used to be a country that used to be
when
fair.
When was it fair,
it
Stanley?
Fair.
When was it fair?
There was no
when
fairness.
When folks were dying in steel mills?
Okay.
When was it fair? When people were dying in steel mills in the Carnegie and the Rockefellers back in the day? When was it fair, Stanley?
Okay, so it was
when?
Never fair when we needed
people
one job
always
to get a
made
house.
Profits,
so
Stanley.
Now we,
when was it fair when black folks couldn't
okay.
eat certain restaurants? When was it
it's
fair?
It's never
Stanley?
Been fair, and it's never going to be fair. There just was a time. There just
you said
was
it
a
used
time,
to be fair.
There just was a time before outsourcing Alabama, before outsourcing that it seemed more of the more, there were more jobs and it helped the greater good. Right now, there seems to be
you
no
know what, Brown?
I'll
agree with you.
Good.
I'll agree with you, Brown, because it was the age is changing. America's gonna get left behind if we still see quick crying about manufacturing. Manufacturing is going. That's the way of any product life cycle in business. You start off, you're making it, and event by the time the product dies off, it's being made in foreign cheap countries. That's the way it always works with products. So we're gonna have to come up with something new and innovative. But what's always kept America ahead is that we've always been able to beat people with making the iPods and making all these different products. We can get to beat people to the punch.
An American company, if you can call it any company American, an American company thought of technology, but they build those iPods someplace else. In fact, I'm playing with
but
my iPod.
How many jobs are created through Apple stores? How many jobs are created in America
but you know what?
On products
the
that it's not all just everybody working
there.
In China?
The
and another thing, Stanley, hold on, Brian. I just
there.
Started this point last night. You know what makes these countries kick our butt? How is it that a Chinese person can move to New York, sit in a room and stitch purses and sell them in Chinatown in New York? They'll sell them because they have a skill.
I think you're missing the point.
We don't know how to make purses. We don't know how to make iPods.
I think you're missing the point, and you don't really understand global business. Because global business has very little to do with borders of sovereign countries. Global business is run by corporations, and corporations do business regardless of borders.
Everybody else
so
is mine, and ours included.
And what about not
so,
understand?
We just had the memorial services for Mr. Mandela with the former presidents in attendance of the United States, that is, many dignitaries of the world. I'm going to make a quick comment. On the platform, on the dais, I'm going to say this one thing. President Obama shook the hand of Raul Castro as he was going down the line of people shaking hands. I'm going to say it like this. Now, if he was in the United States and he didn't want to shake the man's hand or we were having a real tight head-to-head war right now with them, which is pretty subdued now. If some people are thinking about normalizing relationships. Leave the picky stuff alone. That's stupid. But it's causing a bunch of talk out there right now because of diplomatic language, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, they are not the friend of America. Yes, they are a communist nation. Yes, they did support the Soviet Union having missiles aimed at the United States right in their country, which would have really upset the thing of power. But trying to blame President Obama for this one, that's the type of stuff you do that makes the other stuff look like you just picky pointing. This was stupid of whoever's having a hissy fit about it, that he shook the man's hand. He didn't tell the man, you're welcome, nothing. He didn't say nothing. All he did was shake his hand. Stop it. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, man, these cats. I don't know why they keep calling and hanging up on his local line.
Well, God, I'm glad you finally got rid of that. That was annoying.
Sorry, nobody told me.
I heard it. I thought it was me. I hung up and called. Wow, thank you.
okay, Brown. Well,
go ahead, man.
You haven't said anything yet.
Well, I'm surprised, and I applaud you for taking a logical stance on this.
I agree with it, too.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, wow. As soon as I saw that, I checked it. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked on the news on my little tablet, and I was like, oh, my God, they're going to make a fuss out of this. I was like, he shook the man's hand at a funeral. I was like, wow,
right.
watch them make a big deal out of this. And it is nitpicky, hissy stuff. It's the polite and proper thing to do. As far as a historical context, yes, we all know the history. Heck, I'm 51 years old. So that was all. That Cuban Missile Crisis was going down a year before I was born. A month before I was born. I was born in November of 62. So that was all going down in October of 62. Who do we consider friends today here in the United States?
Wait a minute, man.
Let me finish my point real quick. Who do we consider friends? We consider Germany friends, and we consider Japan friends. If we can forgive and become friends with Germany and Japan, where thousands and thousands and thousands of lives were lost, and even the attack at Pearl Harbor, if we can forgive that and move on, we really should be able to forgive Cuba, which probably no U.S. life or laws. We meddled in their affairs and move on. This is a different day. It's a different age. It'd be good to normalize relations and have some stability and some peace.
And have some trade, too, especially for those that smoke
cigars. You know what, though, Jeff? That's like complaining, but that's like the intentional call they gave Cleveland the other day. Like, some stuff should be left alone. You shouldn't mess with the guy. I was the guy hanging and keep it moving. I wouldn't think nothing. In fact, I would try to work with Cuba. We're too close together. It's too much money that can be made for both of our economies if we just go ahead and put this stupid junk. You can't even take their cigars. This is just stupid. Some stuff is just, look, the Cold War is over. Let's go ahead I wouldn't mind reaching out and building some sort of relation so we can have some open free trade between our countries. I don't see nothing wrong with it. It's time to let some of this stuff, it's stupid. You can't just hold on to everything.
Yeah, you can't trade with them. They don't have any money.
Well,
they're 90 miles off the coast of Miami, man. Trust me. You could do something with them.
Yeah. They have things to trade now because they still have fruit. They have sugar because they're sugar cane. They have a number of things that are down there. But the thing is they could, just think about the cars that could be sold down there. And the things that they could build their economy on and maybe one day be engulfed by the United States because they will definitely like capitalism by the time that's worked.
And you know what? That may happen one day, and that would just be a repeat of history. And part of the reason why Castro was able to gain support is because of the – there were hotels, there were casinos, the mob was down there, there were American businesses doing big business, and again, the money stayed in the top circles, in the top group, Batista's group, and the rest of the people suffered and struggled. Now everyone's suffering and struggling. Well, maybe except maybe the top group again. So would they want to revisit corporate America coming there and doing what they do? Maybe not. And the people there are probably conditioned and programmed to be more resistant to a change in the relations than we are.
Yeah. They still ride cars from the 50s down here.
No. Well, yeah. That's true. And you probably could sell cars down there if they had any money.
Well, the whole thing is it would have to change. And I think that it would be to our best advantage after all these years now, since we're on the island anyway with the freaking base right off the back side of it, that we normalize these relationships, take advantage of another place that you could go on vacation, and stabilize this country, and then, you know.
Tourism is a survivable economy for a lot of countries, because tourism, Cayman Islands, of course there's banking too, but there's a lot of places where you go and tourism provides jobs, like the Bahamas, and there are poor people, but many of those people are provided jobs through this. So it's a symbiotic relationship, and I, for one, I'm a little different than many people in that I don't care about a guy making profit. I just want my profit. I just want to see what I can do to get in the gap myself. So,
right.
You're in a noisy place there, brother. But go ahead, bro.
I was gonna just agree with Alabama. That's the whole thing that people don't understand about America. I mean, we're talking about a top 1% versus the ultra poor in America, and nobody really gives a really good look to see that when you do compare America and our living standards and even the living standards of the ultra poor compared to other countries, America does quite well. Everybody's given that path to be able to make their own prosperity, to go ahead, they're allowed, they're free to, it's their right. You want to talk about rights? It's their right to be able to provide for themselves and go choose what they want to do and either succeed or fail. It's their absolute right to do. And that's what's happening in America today, is we're trying to take that path away and say everybody's equal, you don't have the right to choose your own path. And if you choose poorly, we're going to make those ultra-rich people.
Where is anyone saying that you don't have the right to choose that path?
Oh, it's coming. Well, that's what we're going to.
No, tell me specifically where that's happening.
I can tell you, Brown. I can tell you, Brown. No, Brown. I can answer that. What they're saying is, they're not saying you have the right. You don't have the right. What they're saying is you're too stupid, and you need us to go and champion. Because
who is saying that? Where? What policies are you seeing that happen?
Many government. Okay, and most. Most entitlement programs are the way the criteria for them are for you to stay where you are. They're not for you to. There's no upward mobility. They don't allow you. They don't want you to come in. If you get a $2,000 worth of subsidies every month, they're giving you these subsidies to keep you where you are. They're not saying, okay, while you go to school or while you're trying to improve and learn a skill, all they want you to do is stay where you are so they can keep you where you are. And then that's what get me about a lot of liberals, is they want to turn around. I'm not calling you a liberal, but a lot of liberals want to turn around and say, well, that they want to keep you down. Well, the ones that want to keep you down, you constantly push for it. I'm not saying you, but a lot of people do think like that.
And there might be some truth to what you're saying, but my thought is that these entitlement programs exist as a safety net.
And
Lord knows we've needed the safety net after this downturn of 2008 when people are losing their homes and their jobs on mass scale. Now, as far as
why do they make it where you got to have a single family home? Why does it have to be you can't make, like in Alabama, you can't make over $1,000 a month to qualify for a lot of programs? Why is it, okay, well, I'm trying to get out of the hole. How am I going to get out of the hole if I'm making $500 a month? Even with your subsidies.
And second of all, to add what he's saying, nobody could tell you to put you down. It's your own responsibility. Some people are very comfortable with $2,000. Some people are not. And some people will be.
Well Stanley, I mean, you can't come out of both sides of your neck now. You won't.
I'm not coming out of both sides of the neck.
You cannot have
some
responsibilities.
Nobody told you that you could stop. Nobody told you that you could stop doing what your money is. If somebody gives
you
$2,000,
Stanley, if they stop, when they stop, what they do is they tell you you're gonna lose
this
$2,000 if you go out and get a job.
Nobody could force you to stop doing what you need to do. If you're not happy with the $2,000 and you want to make more, make more. But don't say because
you can't,
the
Stanley. You can't, Stanley, because if you go out and work, if you work a regular 9-to-5, even above minimum wage, you still
don't work. The issue is this. The issue is. Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm here. Okay. The issue is this. There's no grace period. Okay. If you go out and you're like, I've been on government assistance, I want to get off of this government assistance. It's difficult for me right now. It'll probably take me 6 to 8 months to dig out of this hole. The first month that you work and make actual money, they're going to take you off that assistance. And then you're back where
mm-hmm.
you started. You can't even afford the gas to go to work.
Nope, not true.
So
not true. Not true.
Oh, that's
not true? No, that's
okay,
not true.
Okay, Diva, hold up. Hold
if
up, Diva. Diva, hold up. Hold up. I'm going to let you know. Go next. Go ahead, Matt.
They will kick you off. I
Alabama,
mean,
we can't
obvious.
Hear you at all. Something happened. You just got, you kind of cut out altogether.
Yeah, you're really muffled, Alabama. I mean, Diva's saying it's not true. I mean, I know that this is, you know, I know some people, and then you could say you know some people, but I'd be interested to find out how the government actually provides you, if you're making $1,000 to $2,000 a month, an avenue to be able to make that and over a period of 6 to 8 months. What program do I go to for that?
You can qualify for, depending on your family size, you could qualify, whether you have a husband or not, you could qualify for food stamps, you could qualify for housing assistance. Will you be able to qualify, you could qualify for job training assistance. You could qualify for school assistance. There is a host of things. The only thing you will not be able to qualify, you qualify for child care assistance. The only thing you will not be able to qualify for is getting an actual welfare check, because that is a program that is for those who have no cash coming into their households.
What about
okay,
what about unemployment benefits?
Unemployment benefits? No. Unemployment benefits are for those who are not working. So if you're
right.
working, what's the use of having unemployment benefits?
No, my friend is complaining about his sister, who he's supporting their entire household right now, because she refused a job at $14 an hour, which seems like, you know, it's something. She refused a job at $14 an hour because it would probably match her unemployment benefits or get close. And why should she
right.
stop her? No, seriously, he said. And,
I'm laughing because that's right. I'm saying.
And it's driving him nuts because he said, I'm spending $1,700 a month, you know,
oh.
taking care of her, you know, and she doesn't seem to get it. And now the unemployment benefits are about to wear out. And now she can't find a job for $14 an hour. Now the only job that she's able to find are far less. So, you know, it has him in a conundrum.
Well,
the thing
is, shouldn't be.
As long as she receives, he made a statement that once you receive benefits, once you start digging yourself out of
hole. I know what he said. He made a blanket statement, and you corrected
him.
You'd
be cut off.
You corrected him.
She corrected me, yes. She corrected me. But the thing is, okay, as far as food stamps and stuff, I have to research into that. I'll buy that for now. But she just said you're not going to get a government check. Listen, I understand that food is expensive, and it is. But if I'm living in a home, I have a lot of utilities to pay. It's going to cost me more than $2,000 a month to pay those and get back on my feet so I can make some other supplemental income.
We're about to take a short pause for the cause. We're going to be right back. This is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're discussing the world's problem, and I'm going to show you on the other side of this that it's not true that the people don't live on this welfare from generation to generation. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Be right back.
That ain't living.
Right. That's not living. And since 1996, the Welfare Reform Act, things have changed, and I don't understand why conservatives' heads can't get out of that time and that era, because I lived under both systems when I was a kid. My mother could not work prior to 1996. She had three kids, and for a mother to have to work a job, and I think minimum wage was like $4.25 at that time. She'd try working. One of us get sick, there'd be no medical. she'd have to quit. And those were our leanest times when it came to food because she didn't make enough. All she made enough was to pay the bills. But then 1996, 1997 came, she could work and still receive medical and still receive food stamps. Did she remain on those programs forever?
The cap off,
no.
Though. There was a cap off,
help.
Wasn't it? Wasn't there a cap off?
Yes, there's a 5-year cap off. Now you can only be on those.
A 5-year cap off. There's an amount cap off on food stamps. There is an amount. You cannot make a certain amount.
No, no, only on cash assistance you can have a cap. There's a cap off. Food stamps, there is no cap off because the fact of the reality is.
You're telling me, look, Diva, I'm from Alabama. I was on them. They told me if I make over $1,000 a month single, I could not receive them. They would cut me off. They would check on me every 90 days.
When you said cap off, I didn't understand what you mean by cap off. Yes, a single person making $1,000 a month, it's not meant to build to where you're going to live a certain lifestyle. It's meant to help you and get you to a certain
place. And that's all
place.
The point I was making. That's just like my mom on Social Security right now. If she make over a certain amount with the Social Security added into it, they're going to cut her off. I don't think that's what it's meant for. That's not what these programs are. That's not a safety net. That's a trap. That's a trap. That's not a safety net.
It's not a trap because you don't have to take it. You have other opportunities. You may not like the opportunity. You may not like the opportunity that's in front of you, but you have a choice. Either you're going to take this program, which is a safety net, and it's just about, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to help you at the level that you are, but it's up to you to get beyond that level. It's not meant to – some people try to use it to catapult themselves into middle class or into a different economic status, but that's not what it's meant for. It's meant for, okay, we understand your economic situation. We're going to help you where you at. But it's up to you to get beyond that.
Why is it that they'll help you there? And you're right. That's what it's for. For your certain situation at the time, I don't have a job. I can't afford this. It's rough to find a job. Why don't they say, you know what? If you go out and get a job now, we're going to support you for the next 6 months so you can definitely get back on your feet so you don't have to come back to this program. Why do they
what
say
do you, what,
you
what,
get
what
a
do
job?
You want to, what type of
off?
Support are you looking for
whatever
in that case?
Support, Diva. It could be anything.
We're not going to count how much money you make per month for 6 months. So if you go get a job and you save your money, we're still going to be giving you that check. That's a hand up to me.
But,
not,
wait a minute,
oh, well, you know what?
What
whatever
day? Day,
whatever form
you,
of assistance, okay?
Once you start receiving cash into your household, you no longer qualify for the government to give you cash assistance because that program, you're no longer in need of that program. That program is just for a specific
See, that's
purpose.
What, so what, when you say start making cash, that's why there's a lot of jobs making $8, $7, $9 an hour that folks don't want because they look the assistance. They do the math.
I don't care if you make it $9 an hour. You're making more than what the government gives you each month in a cash check. Do you? How much do you guys think that the government is giving you?
That varies from state to state, Dee. That varies from state to state. In Hawaii, these
folks make
$60,000 a year on assistance.
A family of two, that means you have one child, you're getting $325 a month. You make way more than that, make $7.75 an hour.
For what? For what?
Grief.
For a family of two. That's how much they give you in cash. For a family
you guys,
of two.
No,
that's
food stamps.
That's
food stamps. What kind of conversation this is? This is such a depressing conversation.
Hold on, Brown. Let me make a point. I didn't want to tell you guys this last week. I lost my job. By Friday, I had two job offers. And the only reason, the only point I'm making is that if you been down. Yes, Brown, I have been on food stamps. I don't think that makes me any less of a person. I went and worked on me. And that's
that
what I'm up here now finna go meet this company I'm signing with today. But I'm
what
just saying,
work,
like,
what kind of work do you do?
I'm a SQL Server database developer.
Whatever the hell that is.
Deal with information, data, like databases, Oracle,
yes,
kind of like
you.
That.
Well,
deal
you've,
with,
got, you've got skills to get you employed. That's good.
But no, what I'm saying is I was 3 years ago, I couldn't do it. 3 years ago, I was messed up.
Oh, you
but
got
I changed.
Trained,
I changed my
learn,
whole life.
You
exactly.
This. You bet. You bet yourself.
Exactly, Brown.
All right. Well, that's
exactly.
A good thing. That's a good thing. And so I. And that, I guess
I would rather
guess,
see more programs
guess,
like that.
And
you know what?
You
I'm gonna put this is a Democrat
Alabama,
program.
Do you have any
make
kids?
A point.
Do you have
I'm
any
trying
kids?
To make a point. I'm trying to make a point. You know what? It's a Democrat program called the Workforce Investment Act. I think it's a good idea. I'm not saying government is evil across the board. What I'm saying is, we need to reform what it means to help someone, because there are people that are struggling. There are a lot of people that don't want to be on the street. They'd rather be able to take care of themselves and hold their head high.
And we're back once again afternoon with Tracy and friends here talking to you about what's on your mind and wanting to hear from you. I got my chat room in here, and they've been tearing it up in there and arguing it out. And before I bring all of them back, I want to bring my local caller up, because I think this is where I'm getting that call from that keeps making the dial tone. So, local caller, you're in there.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yep.
Go ahead.
This is me, Steve. Jeff, I wanted to get on the air yesterday, but to talk to your sister.
Okay.
Because she was talking about, you say your sister is a prophetess?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, I wanted to bring up about that certain religion and how they believe that the last days began. And, of course, it has something to do with man who founded the religion in 1940. To them, that's when the last days began. And
Doc, we ain't talking about that, and I don't believe in that, number two. And so, I hear you. You can just say it, but like I say, it's still a cult. It's not when the last days began. That has nothing.
That's what they believe.
I don't care what they believe. It's not what the Bible says, and that's where I'm at with this. The Bible is going to be my basis for what I believe, okay? And there's a good reason why I choose the Bible for that. So I'm not going with extracurricular. Okay, if it's extracurricular and does not add up to the Word of God, I reject it. Why? Because any religion that says it's part of the Bible but then teaches you different than what the Bible says, I reject. Now, if it's a different religion, well, I mean, I don't have anything to say about that. That's not my business.
I can understand why you believe it's a cult, because the man who founded the religion, he believed in 1914 was...
No,
he thought
no,
the world was coming
no,
to an end.
No, that is not why.
Why,
Jim?
Mm-hmm. The word cult is just short for culture. And
all
religions at one point were cults, and a cult kind of also implies a small following, not large appeal. Christianity originally started off as a cult, and it was unpopular, and people were persecuted for being Christians. But as it gained acceptance, so cult isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Absolutely, I can go with that. That's not how we use that. That's not how we use it today.
Cult
I agree.
Is short for culture. Okay,
Brown, I don't disagree with that.
Witnesses are a cult. That's what
you're
saying.
Yeah, I'm saying this because of that. They believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan.
Because they believe he's an angel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, guess what? Angels aren't people. And people aren't angels. They're created different.
Well, the reason why they believe he's an angel...
I don't care why they believe he's...
Brown, can I bring the subject back to the center?
No, wait a minute. Doc, hold on. Let me deal with what I got to deal with.
Ask Jeff,
I'm in
charge.
Thank you. Once again... I'm trying not to be. I'm trying not to hang up on you, but I'm telling you, no, I don't care why they believe what they believe. I'm telling you that it's not biblical, and if that's the case, then ain't nobody's sin paid for, because God had to do what He had to do to save a man, and it could not be done by an angel. If an angel did it, then angels are redeemed.
No, they're not.
If they're not, then ain't nothing happening. Then how can an angel be my savior? He's not. Then talk about something else, Steve. I'm gonna let you say something else real quick.
Well, myself, I am believing that people at McDonald's and Walmart, you know, other fast. I mean, these places should get about $10 an hour.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that, of course, because of the, you know, the cost of living and the inflation.
Has nothing to do with it, but go ahead.
I mean, I think that it's a little bit ridiculous to pay someone $15 an hour. I can understand maybe a big city like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, some of the larger cities like that. But here in Youngstown, maybe about $9.50 an hour, tops maybe $10 in Youngstown. And Walmart's, I think that they can afford to pay their employees $10 an hour.
Why don't they?
Hey, Steve.
I mean, you know.
Let me just say really quick. Hold on.
Matt. He can't hear you. Hold on, Steve. I'm going to let Matt answer you. Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to say really quick, and actually I got to go after this, but Steve, what you're proposing with this $9.50 to $10 an hour rate for menial labor will put me out of a job because my boss already pays $10 to start people, and if he's forced to pay more for that because to make them feel better about coming in, he's not going to do any more business. And I lose my job. And you're going to see the same story across America with small business. It doesn't just affect corporations.
Let me ask you this, Matt.
I'm not
all
talking
right.
about small businesses. I'm talking about a company like Walmart, which is a
multi-billion-dollar
company.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but they got the profits. They make profit. They make enough profits where they can give the
well,
people a little
well,
bit
I
more
mean,
money.
So can
I mean,
McDonald's.
Wait a minute.
McDonald's is not the same thing as doggone Walmart.
No, you're right.
Okay.
Right,
because
McDonald's
you have
a franchise of Walmart.
Their franchise,
right.
And the franchise has to buy their product from the parent company.
Tracy explained that, and it enlightened me. But, you know, I'm listening to you guys talk about what we're talking about. And on one hand, you're really against entitlements. And I understand why, but you're really against entitlements. Let me finish. Overall, let me just paint the scenario. There are people, I'm not saying it's any of you, okay, but if you feel comfortable putting it on. But there are people that are against entitlements really have difficulties with entitlements for a variety of reasons. But in the same respect, you're against a higher basic entry level or menial labor wage. And there has to be some give there. There has to be some give in the attitude.
But you know what, though?
I would rather see.
Alabama, hold on, man. Go ahead, bro.
What I would rather see is a little bit more coming from the private side that makes profits than coming out of everyone else's pocket, which is in turn people having to be on the dole or getting assistance. There has to be a give there, but I'm just going to say conservatives, okay? But when the right has this attitude and like firm positions, you know, like, no, we can't raise the wage. We can't raise the minimum wage. We can't raise the minimum wage. No, this is the good reasons why. But no, I don't want you on welfare. I don't want you on. People have to live.
Mm-hmm.
People have to live, and there has to be some give somewhere in an attitude in order for people to live.
You're right, Brown, to a point, because you got to understand that these jobs. That people have the skills to be able to go into an entry-level job and then work their way up the ladder rather quickly. But in this day and age, and with what we see out of these generations, these latest generations, they don't have the want or the need, and they need to be catapulted in some way, a kick in the butt to say, you better get your butt to work and work your way up the ladder.
That's a very good point. And, you know, I do see a generation in their 20s that are not only slackers, they're unable to do a lot of basic stuff. Their parents, people my age, did everything for them. And I see this over and over and
But Brian, I've been trying to make this point for a while. I just wanted to make this point.
Okay.
I was talking a while ago. Hold on, I'm going to make it. You keep talking. Diva asked me a question when I said I did what I did. She said, do I have kids? This is the thing. I had a girl I was dating. It's a quick point. I had a girl I was dating, right? She asked me to borrow some money. I went to get the money. I got stopped by the police, got a ticket because she had some headlight problems, right? She didn't pay any money. She didn't help me pay the ticket or anything. When I asked her, she said, well, I mean, you don't have kids. And you know, you do IT. You know what I told her? I said, you were the one laid up trying to have sex with some guy
for pleasure and a child came out of it. Why is it now that you should get preferential treatment? Because of that. That's been lost in America. We don't have any grit no more. Everybody wants to feel sorry and not want to look at the person. Well, you made a choice. So when you make a choice to lay up and have kids, 3 and 4 kids, then you can't, you are all by definition putting your life in a second, in a category where you're going to be susceptible to being financially struggling the rest of your life. People have to understand that. That's just a fact of life.
Okay, now, Matt was talking before that. Am I correct?
Go ahead. I was talking before that, but let Matt talk.
Yeah, Brown, finish your statement, because you were talking.
I'm all caught up in his story now. I forgot what I was going to say.
Can I say something? Just 2 seconds. I just want to say I agree with Just Alibi. I can't believe I'm saying I'm going to agree with him. I agree with what he just said. If you're going to bring a kid in this world and you're not financially responsible, don't bring a kid in this world. If you can't basically do the basic or take care of yourself, that's being selfish if you bring a kid in this world, if you're not financial. I agree with him.
Being
and too many people,
irresponsible.
It's irresponsible, exactly. Irresponsible, selfish, you can name it. And I say the same thing like you do. Every woman that I meet that are a single mother, I say, did you think that bringing a kid would change what? Don't think it. If you're not able to even take care of yourself, what the hell did you bring a kid in this world with?
That's the point. Hold on, let me answer that one real quick. That's where I get my undies tied up in a knot with, because we keep paying for that behavior. They know that they can do this, and somebody's going to give them money because they did it, and that's stupid. That's paying for bad behavior. We have to stop that.
That's been going on.
I don't care how long it's been going on.
I tell people, well, you know what? You don't got kids. That's why it was easy for you to do what you did. I hate
that.
Well,
it might be. It might be.
You went up and laid up and had sex with some guy. And now you got kids. Don't get upset with me because of your choices.
Thank you.
It's not about somebody getting upset because you don't have kids and then they're stressed. It's the reality of the situation. My life was
easier,
and I could do a lot different things when I didn't have a child. Now that I have a child, I can't just do this and do that, especially when it comes to switching.
So, Diva, there are no people in school. There are no people in school with kids. Everybody in school is single with no kids, right?
That's not the point. It's just that.
Well, why did you ask me that when I was talking about what I do?
You about child care. You could go to school and you can, you know, I might be able to get away
with it. Diva, did you know how I really got? You didn't ask me, Diva, how I even got where I am. I didn't go to school per se. I went to a certification program, something that takes, you can do 3 hours a day at night, so online. So
watch that child at
night.
You
can take an online course at home and watch your kids. It's all about what you want out of life. You think I went to a traditional university, but I didn't do that. I got a degree.
I never said that. I didn't say that. And I'm not looking at your situation.
So you said I can't do it. That's what I'm saying. But it's ways around stuff. When people make
you know,
kids,
she was commenting on something else.
Alabama.
What she was commenting on was
kids as an excuse.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. When you guys were talking about eligibility for services, what she mentioned was, when you were talking about eligibility for services and you said if you made over $1,000 a month, you couldn't get what X out of the other, she asked if you had kids. And I think the reason why she asked if you had kids, because, yes, if you have kids, it costs more.
Okay, we're going to go to break. Be right back.
An accident, yes.
Did I get you right, Diva?
Yes, you did. It costs more.
She wasn't asking. She asked me that when I talked about the certification. She didn't say anything about.
Yeah.
She wasn't asking me that. She said, when I said, well, yeah, I do Secret Service development. Do you have kids? Because everybody can't do that. If I got kids, I can't go do that. That's weak right there.
Let me make myself very clear, Alabama. You made it seem like that anyone could do what you've done. That's not the case. Hold on. Let me finish. The reality of the this situation is a person who has kids has a certain a different circumstance. We have to worry about child care.
No,
we have to worry
true.
About not only feeding ourselves but feeding them. We have to worry not only about clothing ourselves but clothing them. It's a whole
Diva,
different dynamic
Diva,
when you have
so
children.
You
and I'm not saying a person
but
is
better
than someone
else. So now you get preferential treatment because of what you did. You get preferential treatment, right?
The problem is, but Diva, the problem is you're being.
I didn't say anything
being,
about preferential treatment. I said that the circumstances are different. You were able to go out and find a great job or hold off or do whatever you wanted. That's great. I'm proud of you. But a person who has kids, the circumstances are going to be different. And that's when you have to understand that. And refusing
but
to
Diva,
understand that shows.
But Diva, you need to understand also.
I'm not saying that they can't. I didn't say the word can't. I said
make your point, Stanley. Make what you're trying to say, Stanley, because you're going to keep talking.
Diva, the only thing you have to understand also is they made that choice to have a kid without being financially responsible.
Oh, my gosh.
I understand what you're saying. Because you're making an excuse because she chose to have a kid.
I didn't make an excuse, it's reality.
Well, it is a reality. If you're not financially able to take care of yourself, what the hell are you bringing a kid in this world? Why are you bringing a kid in this world? If you're not financially
responsible, why is it when somebody shows you a way out and you got all the excuses why you can't make it? When other women right there got the same kids, this lady had two kids in the class right beside me doing just as good as I was. In fact, she was better than I was. She working right now in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Did any time the words come out of my mouth that a person with kids can't do something? Did that ever come out of my mouth?
Yeah, but you're coming with it.
Did those words come out of my mouth?
No. Oh, you made an excuse.
You're making an excuse.
No, she just asked if you had kids.
Did those words come out of my mouth?
No, it didn't.
Okay,
but you're
then, why are you making it seem like that was my argument when it wasn't? I never said a person with kids could not do anything. I said
they
made me
limit. Hey, you're going to strip club. It was stripping. I got kids. That's why I'm stripping. I'm stripping because I got kids. Man, quit me. Y'all hear me?
I asked you if you had kids yet.
I don't know how this conversation is so heated. I'm still back.
People wouldn't be screaming at folks.
Well,
because you guys aren't listening.
I think
words in my mouth that I didn't say.
I think the conversation heat is because
again, afternoon with Tracy and friends. I know they're getting it on in the chat room, and we'll bring them up here in just a second. Want to just tell you that we appreciate you listening in and hearing us, and I hope that you got my message in the beginning of the last statement because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying about belief and religion. But here we're talking about how we do things in society, and we're looking at situations where we're spending and spending and spending. And since LBJ declared war on poverty back in the 60s, the early 60s, guess what? We have 10% more per capita poor people in America than we had at the time. So we're going the wrong way in how we're trying to deal with it. But our guests here are talking. I have Stanley, I have Brown, I have Alabama, I have Diva, and Alex has not gotten a chance to say anything yet. So, Alex, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jeff. You know,
what's up, buddy?
I listened to the conversation I was having and over the break, and you know, in my opinion, I think that you guys are doing a disservice to yourselves and to your country.
Oh,
because you know, all this talk about, well, you know, you should take responsibility if you lay down with somebody. You know, although that's true, that is true. The reality is that for certain people, people can bounce back from their mistakes easier than others, you know, and for a certain segment of the population, you know, or certain segments, you know, if they make one mistake like that, they kind of get locked into poverty. And, you know, why is that? You know, and the reason for that is because of the you know, the systemic economic issues in our country. And I think that instead of addressing the economic issues in our country about why, you know, just why our economy is so stale, you know, we dive into this mode of analyzing the victim, because we're all victims of this bad economy. And it's partly, you know, some people want to blame the bankers, you know, it's definitely our government, but, and then, you know, whoever else is to blame, you know, that's another discussion. But I just think that it's not going to help trying to analyze the victims of all this, saying, well, you know, you could have made better decisions. But the only thing that does is shuffle the crap around. You know, we're just saying, well, you should have shuffled your crap around better.
Well, no,
actually getting rid of the crap, and that's the problem.
I agree. But when you're sitting up here with the president that's destroying business in America, and he's not just limiting it to the little ones that he's dealing with. Who's talking? Wow. Anyway, he's not just limiting it to the ones that he doesn't like, you know, coal and oil and things like that. But I would say he's doing a heck of a lot to destroy business, period. Okay, somebody's got their radio on or something. You need to cut your radio off.
It's not me. Alex.
No, I'm just saying.
Alex, I'm giving you a standing ovation. That was an excellent overview. That was such an excellent – no, really, because when you hear this petty bickering, and I'll use your words, you know, hey, you know, you should have shuffled your crap better. Look at the mess you're in. Hey, you know, you should have shuffled your crap better. It pits people against each other, and you don't step back and look at the whole larger scenario, which, of course, there are parties that are interested in having people at each other's throats, because then you can't really see what's going on above you. Jeff, as far as what you said, the president destroying business, I'm no defender of the president, but I would like to know that the stock market has been trading at highs.
Oh, yeah.
There's some artificial reasons for that with the stimulus.
Absolutely.
But it also indicates that there are very wise people and smart people with lots of money that are continuing to support and buy the stock and the interest in the future and the future of
business. No, it doesn't mean that at all.
It sure
it
does.
Doesn't mean it at all.
Right now they're buying stocks at all time highs. I don't think that's a wise choice, because it's got to correct
this
stuff. The economy.
I'm not saying that it's a wise choice, all I'm saying is this: there must be some that believe that business is not being destroyed, but business is strong, and what business about is profitability.
Oh, your problem is this, Brown. Is one thing here is that we're not talking about throughout the world, because business is working throughout the world. It is not working in the United States, and that is why your unemployment rate is so high, and that's why it went down, because 41% of the jobs that were hired in this last month was government jobs, probably those 10,000 IRS agents that they're going to need.
I'm going to ask Alex this, because he probably knows better than me. Alex, what are some of the sectors in the economy that are showing high profits? Is technology one of them? Is like finance?
Always.
No, it's definitely finance. Technology. See, all this is being finance.
I just want you to tell me some of the sectors
that are performing
well right now.
Technology has been doing poor for the last 10 years almost. But it's mostly finance. Anything that big finance is backing, like the only companies that are seeing benefit from it are big companies that benefit from the investment bankers. Like, you'll see Walmart start continue to go up, or other huge companies continue to go up, because they don't pay their payroll like small businesses off of cash flow. They pay their businesses off of credit, even their payroll. People are paid their paychecks off of credit, which is why the big companies can operate in a way that the small companies cannot. And so, you know, you have the Fed pumping $85 billion into just giving it to the banks every month. And so this is why you have such lopsided, you know, returns on the stock market. It's just the big guys are just running away. And it's interesting when people say, well, trickle-down economics doesn't work. Well, obviously Obama believes in it because that's what he's doing, and it's definitely not working.
So hold on a second. If you're saying Obama thinks trickle-down or he must believe that trickle-down economics works, then would you say that he is destroying business, or is
yes.
he help promoting
destroying
it?
He's destroying it. Destroying it, definitely.
So he's destroying businesses that are smaller than, you know, your Fortune 500.
Yes, definitely.
Every other
suffers. Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, no, all right, I'm getting a better understanding, and this makes sense to me. So, you know, your Fortune 500, maybe your Fortune 1000, your really, really large firms, but, you know, the guy that runs the local, you know, store like Home Depot, or the guy that, yeah, I understand what you're saying. That
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Yeah, think of it like this. You know, everybody's pissed off at Walmart for coming into a town and wiping out the mom-and-pop stores. Okay, but yet they're chatting, oh, come on, go Obama, go Obama. You know, for the stuff that he's doing, and he's literally wiping out every small business in the country. And
now,
without
is he wiping it out, or is he, or is the policies that are in effect are being dictated to him, or he's being advised to?
He's doing the dictating. Yeah, he's doing the dictating, and he's doing the advice, and his advisors are telling him to do it, because don't forget what his books say, that he must destroy this economy to take it all the way down so that he can bring it up like they want it to be, which they want,
That's a pretty strong statement.
It's what he said in his book, though, Brown. That's the thing. This is his plan for what he said in the book. Now, I'm not saying this. This is what he said.
Can I give a general example of what you're saying?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Let's look at the healthcare law. Okay. Now, with all these regulations, you have a 2,000-page law document, whatever. The actual codes, everything being written, is like tens of thousands of pages, from what I hear. Haven't actually seen it, but that's what I'm hearing. Do you think that the smaller insurance companies even have a chance? With all these new regulations that are coming on board, do you think that the smaller insurance companies will still be around in 5 to 10 years?
No, they're not going to be able to keep up with the compliance.
And that's what happens every time the government gets involved, and that's all he keeps doing with it. You know, whether it's EPA, whether it's they're trying to regulate. They're trying to regulate Bitcoin, because people are like, the U.S. dollar is garbage, so I'm going to put my money into an actual safe currency, and then people are putting their money in Bitcoin, and our government is trying to regulate that now. And so,
I don't know how safe Bitcoin is, but gold and silver is much safer. But
yeah, I'm just making a point that
right.
That's what the government is doing, and that's actually all Obama's been doing. He's been doing that with the energy sector. I've personally seen here in Florida, because of his policies, at least 1,000 people have been laid off here in the energy sector here. So across the – it's just insane. You have to correct these problems when it comes to the economy. You have to give people freedom, their choice to – the freedom to actually participate in the economic activity, but people don't have that freedom. It's becoming more and more constricted, and that's really the problem. You know,
Alex, in your opinion, how many times has government shrunk
since the birth of this nation. Because I don't think it's ever strong.
Never.
I just, but that's what it's going to take because of what he's doing right now these last 5-6 years. It's growing at a rate to where it's not going backwards. It's never going to go backwards. Even when we do tax reform, within 3-4 years, we're right back where we were.
I'll take it back. It did shrink once, and it was after the Civil War, and it was because the Republicans at the time were they were more constitutionalists than libertarians at the time. They were the party of Frederick Douglass at that time.
Gary Johnson.
At that period, you saw that was some of the greatest growth in American history, Reconstruction, that during the late 1800s, black people were doing probably the best that they ever had been. The government was probably its smallest it's ever been at that point, and that's when, the economy was just booming. But then the government got involved, and then things just, it went to hell from there, and this is where we are.
Well, no doubt about it. We're not barking up a very sound tree right now, and that's why I see the healthcare law as being one of the worst things that could happen. Not because some people that didn't have healthcare are going to get it. I'm not against that. I wish I am for a healthcare system for the American people. Why? Because of two things. One, we're the richest nation and the most powerful nation on earth, so right now. Number two, we owe it to our people because it's on the people to keep this big, bloated, overgrown, behind government working. And they are busting their behinds to do it, and you should give them some kind of break. They didn't get a bailout. We got people still losing their homes because of the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the banking industry going down. So where is their help at when they're the ones that are going to have to pay it back and their kids and the kids' kids and the kids' kids' kids?
You know what, though, Jeff, down here in Alabama, well, I'm in Atlanta now, but in Alabama, there are people I know that I know personally who are paying, they going on to the government system, they're going to be more than their rent. Their mortgage and their rent is actually less than their health care. That's going to be the largest, and it wasn't before. But now because of the new law, they're going to have to switch over.
We're going to have to break up right now. We'll be right back after noon with Tracy and Friends. We'll see you back after the top of the hour news.
And Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday.
I'm reading about the Bitcoin.
Hello? Yeah, I was up on that some years ago. It's some small ways you can make some money.
I've heard of it, and I know that it was an exchange, but I didn't know how they figured what it was worth. Did you know on November 29th, which was just a couple of weeks ago, the price of a single coin hit an all-time high? This is such a dangerous thing when they start creating a currency that has no real value.
Well, let me ask you something, though. I'm learning. I'm asking a question.
Let me tell you this.
Is it not illegal to have other currencies in the country? Like, I think because they're starting to issue new currencies.
It's a digital currency, but
I'm not just talking about Bitcoin. I'm talking about other currencies as well. They're starting to issue out. I heard somewhere in the country.
Well, I know in Idaho they're approving issuing actual silver coins as a currency, which is actual money. But the point, what I found interesting here, a Bitcoin, which might be made out of anything, it was worth as much as an ounce of gold, which has been a real store of value for, centuries.
Thousands of years, yeah.
Yeah, centuries.
The thing about Bitcoin, it is, if you're going to have a fiat currency, which it seems like we're not going to completely reel in, and it's probably never.
And the banks won't allow for that. That allows them to inflate the economy and have control, right?
Right.
Every currency that exists right now is a fiat currency.
Right, and I think it would be okay if it was backed by something, but if you're going to have a fiat currency, Bitcoin is the perfect fiat currency, and that's the reason why it's exploding because. Because you're not allowed to just issue new bitcoins. There's a very, very strict algorithm that for the for the issue, for the creation of new bitcoins.
Well,
and so
you know what?
And so there's a finite number of bitcoins that's in circulation. And so that's the reason why it has so much value, because if you know, it's not like dollars where, oh, well, we need some dollars.
Well,
just print another.
Well, let me ask you, can you just buy some bitcoins every paycheck? Like you can buy some silver, for silver's down at $19 right now. So can you just go buy some bitcoins like that?
You can.
No.
They're $1,200 each. I would rather buy an ounce of gold. I would buy
some
gold.
Some silver, yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's the article that I'm looking at. It says the British Royal Mint is getting involved. China's trying to be involved with the Bitcoin craze. But, you know, if you've seen other crazes before that involve money, it could be anything from pet rocks to Beanie Babies. You know, this stuff is dangerous. You know?
Yeah.
This stuff is dangerous. But Alice makes a good point. If there's a finite amount of them, you know.
Yeah, it can't bubble. It can't bubble like that. Yeah.
Well, it can still buckle as long as there's interest. All it has to do is take people to start walking away from it, and it'll just be, you know, a novelty.
Well, yeah, that's with everything. I mean, if people stop using a currency, then the value goes down. But that's like anything else.
What I was saying was that the supply can outweigh the demand. There's still a demand. That's what I was saying. Like, it's the same thing basically.
People, you know, the thing about Bitcoin, though, I could say,
who created it? Where is it originating from? I know it's a digital currency. So are there actual
it's actually considered a cryptocurrency. It was created, I can't remember the guy's name, very intelligent guy. The reason why people like it is that now, because, you know, in this age of digital, you know, whatever,
right,
you know, everything's tracked that you do on the internet. It is completely anonymous. You can buy things anonymously. When you trade currency, it's completely anonymous. It's encrypted with 1024-bit RSA encryption. I don't know if you know anything about encryption, but the NSA can't even crack anything over 256. And this thing is 1024-bit encrypted.
Bits of information?
They can't crack anything that has more than
there are a lot of ways on the internet you can get bitcoins just for doing little small tasks. You can actually get some bitcoins for stupid stuff like watching an advertisement. They got all types of ways to earn money doing it.
You must get a very small part of a bitcoin if they're now trading it around $1,200 each.
Yeah, people are buying stuff with millibitcoins now. You know, a hundredth or a thousandth of a bitcoin. Because it's worth so much. I'm still on the fence about actually investing in it, because for the same reasons that you are. I mean, because I have gold and silver, but you know, Bitcoin is not backed by anything, so you know,
it's not worth anything. It's the faster people walk away from this, this could be a big. This thing is not going to end up well, despite everything that Alex says. That makes it unique. It's not going to end up well. My guesstimation.
Yeah.
I don't have a crystal ball.
I
don't
feel like this. If it's a wave, I wouldn't mind riding the crest of it right quick, making
something?
A couple of dollars off.
It might. Yeah, you're speculating. But then again, it might end up being the new world's reserve currency. What the hell do I know? It might be trading.
I think what you said a minute ago, Brown, about they can't. No country can actually back its money right now. Everybody's overprinted.
No country wants to. No central bank wants
For trading, it's actually it hurts the people within their country. Like us, we got all these trillions of dollars in circulation. If it wasn't as many in circulation, the dollar would actually mean something.
The dollar does mean something.
The reason we're talking about minimum wage right now. Is because $7 doesn't mean what it meant 20 years ago. Why?
Right.
Because there's more
because
in circulation.
Inflation. Because of inflation.
Yeah.
And you'll probably see more inflation. I don't like to predict the future, but you're probably going to see a lot more inflation. There are far too many dollars out there.
So it's being falsely held down right now. They're going to have to raise the interest rates in a minute. They're going to have to. It's got to correct it.
Not
you're going
to
just keep them down
they may not,
like that?
Not try to correct it. It's the perfect way to bust the economy out. It's the perfect way to
do it. Yeah, if that's your purpose, like Japan ain't recovered from their quantitative easing yet.
then they're not either. I mean, it's. I don't think that anybody is going to actually recover. I mean, if you look at the full balance sheet of America, United States actually owes $220 trillion,
including entitlements.
When you count everything, they owe $220 trillion.
It's the back afternoon with Tracy and Friends, and we're discussing everything that you want to discuss here live on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and WSOM AM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial as well. And we're just having a good old time here and in our chat room, mixing it up in there and giving their opinions. You know, it's kind of a place where you can come and gripe if you want to. So anybody that wants to get in here, you go give me a call. Alabama just dropped, and that's okay. We have in the room Stanley, Brown, Diva, and also Alex as well. I wanted to bring up something else that's going on. NSA is spying on virtual worlds, period, on virtual worlds, people that do that stuff. A man jumps to his death in the mall after the girlfriend insists on more shopping. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not that the man is dead, because that's crazy. That's crazy. You blew it already because you got there. That doesn't make any sense that you got there. Anyway, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, 1-347-945-5229. Who do I have here in the chat room? What you all saying now?
We were talking about the Bitcoin.
Yeah, the Bitcoin stuff and all. See, this sector is doing well. And don't forget, everybody that's listening, please listen. Okay, this little jump that they think the economy has done, it happened in December. That's not that good because December is always the month, November, December, where you have your Christmas shopping starting, and most of the jobs that were created because of government. 41% of the jobs that were created were government jobs. Okay, so that's a lost leader right there, because you have more people on assistance right now than you do people working. That doesn't work, because that's not enough taxes to take care of all of that. So now, what's going to happen? Okay, well, they've been doing a little thing they call TARP, which they've been infusing our economy with $85 billion a month for the last, year and a half, 2 years? Now, with this TARP, guess what? The banking industry is loving it. So the banking industry is making strides and the investment industry, because people are grabbing that $85 million and they are investing it and they're putting it places and they're getting it. And it's not doing a doggone thing to help your society. That's why the income gap is still hugely wide and it's going to continue. And that's why we're sitting up here looking at them getting ready to pull the TARP. And the minute they pull the TARP, the stock market's going down. This economy is not up and running. You're killing it with regulation. This country won't be down more than 3 or 4 years, period, if you allow business to be business and work. But when you falsely put cost on a business, you destroy it. When you falsely raise the wages of employees, that kills business. That's why unemployment among the poor people is huge. Why? Because when the mom and pops and the smaller businesses, they can't afford to pay that minimum wage that you're talking about raising it up to. They don't have the margins. So you're doing a foolish disservice to your people. What say you?
How is it that we hear that argument I mean, I've been hearing that argument since I turned 16. I remember when I first started working at 16, minimum wage was $4.25. I think a year and a half later, minimum wage went up to maybe $5.25 or something like that. I could be wrong about the numbers. The same argument was made then that you're making now.
They've been making a similar argument for 1,000 years.
Can I say this, please? And then you can kill me, you know, then if you want to. Yes. Okay. Every time you raise the minimum wage, somebody's radio is on it. Somebody's radio has to go down.
It's not mine.
I hear you. We'll find out who it is because this is driving me crazy here. Anyway, when they raise the minimum wage, guess what? Unemployment among our young people, especially black youth, goes up, way up. Why? Because the little people can't afford to hire you to come sweep the floor at the barbershop anymore. They can't afford for you to come in and be the delivery boy at the pizza parlor. They can't afford those things. That's why it is not right. Now, if you want to do this, this is one of my other plans. This is a King Jeffrey plan. And that is you have a minimum wage, or what we call an entry-level wage, and then we have a grown person wage. Now, if it's a grown person and you get disenfranchised from your employment that you made at GM or something like that or this other place, then we might be able to hire a grown person to do certain things, but they're going to do a lot for that extra money for that business, and they'll get paid a little more. But for little entry-level jobs like sweeping the floor and delivering pizzas and stuff like that, you are not going to get no $10, $12 freaking dollars an hour because it's stupid, it's bass-ackward, and doesn't make any sense. You destroy...
Here's the issue with your argument. One,
there is no issue with my argument.
That's just one, because what you're proposing goes against civil rights laws. For the simple fact,
I don't care nothing about the civil rights law.
Hold on.
Screw the civil rights law, because guess what? Guess what? Yeah. I don't care about it. Understand? It's not working.
Yes,
you cannot discriminate based
on
age.
You start to sound like Bull Connor. You don't want to sound like that. You care about
civil
rights law.
I am Bull Connor, man.
Come on. You're not no Bull Connor. You don't
let me find Brown. Brown, if I see you, I'm pulling out the fire hoses, brother.
Yeah, you sound like Bull Connor.
You cannot discriminate based on age, and that's what it will boil down to. Now, I worked in the service industry for many years. I worked in crew member, and I worked as a supervisor. I have seen businesses take advantage of how they want their operations run. They prefer that older worker over that younger child. Why? Because it makes business run smoother. As a supervisor, I hate working with teenagers.
You're talking about the fast food world, right?
I'm talking about the service industry, period.
All right, service
whether
industry,
it's,
could you know something? Like in the, well, I don't know how to put it, but the office world, and even in a lot of skill positions, I know a lot of people that really, that do suffer age discrimination. And people
sure.
that are in their late, their 40s and 50s and 60s are having a hard time getting jobs. And there is a age discrimination, and I don't know why that is, but I'm sure they have their reasons where they would rather hire the fresh, you know, 22, 23, 24-year-old fresh out of college. I don't know if it's because there's someone that's more impressionable or they can get
technology.
More out of them.
Tech-savviness primarily.
I guess in a lot of cases the younger people are just going to be that much more tech-savvy. No, that exists as well. Not in the
service industry. Yeah, that does. But that exists in your more higher skilled jobs. But to talk about your entry level, lower skilled jobs, it's a lot in the reverse. You have a lot of these businesses who claim they can't pay a living wage, and then people claim, well, they, those jobs aren't meant for adults or people with families to live off of. Well, the business owners are taking advantage of the fact that these people are now needing these jobs. They take advantage of the situation, and they prefer to hire the person who is older more so than a person who was young.
That would make sense if you understood the makeup of it. If you worked in there, you know why they did what they did.
Yes, I know why they did what they did, and that's why I'm saying, when you say, well, these jobs only meant for teenagers and young kids, yeah, that may have been true at one point in time, but now business owners, they're taking advantage of the situation. They prefer.
What do you want? I'll ask the question. What do you want business owners to do? What do you think that they owe you? Because guess what? In my business, I'm in that business to make money. I'm not in there to give anybody a freaking job. Okay,
it's not about them owing someone something. It's about the fact that you need me just as much as I need you. So you scratch
I don't
my
need
back,
you.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Yes,
no,
you do.
No, I don't.
Okay,
wait,
so if you did, then you can work this job by yourself.
No,
then you
I don't know.
By yourself,
no,
then.
I don't need you, because you're going to ask for crazy stuff that I'm teaching you a skill, and you're going to make me pay you to teach you a skill?
What skill?
No,
Jeff?
Well,
you're
not
my job.
Flipping
you're trying to put out a product, and you need me to help you put that product out. That's what it's about.
Once again, people that don't know how to work, and it's very evident in the fast food industry, because McDonald's has to put pictures on the frickin' keys so people know what to type in so that they can give the right change back. That's what you're dealing with there. No. I'm teaching you how to work, and then you're going to make me pay you $12 to do it. You out your mind.
Please, Jeff. They're not in it to teach anybody anything. They're in it to gain a profit, to make money.
Diva, why do you think you? Why do you go to an entry level job, Diva?
What do you mean? Why do you go? People want to work. If it's the only job you're going to get, that's the only job you're going to get.
No. I never worked an entry level job. No, I take that back. I did, but I went down from a big job. I never worked no entry level job.
Okay,
what I'm saying. So don't say that's why you go there. You go there to learn how to work.
No, you
and
don't.
To get
I didn't
yes,
know.
You
I
do.
I didn't start working in fast food to learn how to work, Jeff. I started working in fast food because I wanted to make money.
And that's why that's why people are sitting up there asking for $12 an hour, because they ain't going no further.
No,
because
they're
that's
asking
why you,
for $12 an hour because the amount that they put in to work these jobs is
no,
they're not receiving
Diva,
anything back through
no,
pay and
no, sweetie. Uh-uh.
Well, you know something? You know
Sorry.
Something? And people have to develop some skills that pay higher wages, even as
absolutely.
even as hard as it is out there. I'm not okay, but the reality is that you have to have some skills better, you know, that are going to qualify you to do different type of work or work that makes more money than flipping burgers and doing people. When I hear these people talk about, yeah, maybe they should get paid more. But in the same respect, you shouldn't want to work for McDonald's for 20 years. I mean, unless you were on some kind of track to move, you know, higher.
Now, Tracy told me that there's people that we know that did that. I'm going to let you go right in a second, Alex. That are around us that have been working for McDonald's for that long. And I don't know who they are. She's going to have to show them to me. But you're not supposed to be at McDonald's more than a year or two or maybe four while you're going to school. You know, that's it, unless you're going into management.
I completely understand that. I was a supervisor for a fast food restaurant. I was 19 years old, and I was a supervisor. And there was people who were – and I supervised people way older than me. Yeah, they've been there 15, 20 years. But so what? Does that mean that their wage should not increase according to the cost of living, that they should be suffering?
Yes, it does mean that because it's not that type of job. That's not a career job. Yes, it means that.
It's really not that type of job.
Hello?
It's really not supposed to be that type of job.
Hold on, local.
Sometimes because of circumstances, it becomes that type of job.
Unless the caller, you are in the air. Go ahead.
Unfortunately. Hey, Jeff. How are you doing today? I'm Eric and Warren.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I agree with what you guys are saying about the minimum wage. I mean, nobody should aspire to flip burgers for a living. That's the bottom line, and that's all I got to say.
Man, you can stay on for a little while.
Okay.
We got lines open. See, we got lines open. We have a ton of people listen because, I believe you mean, whenever I get off the air, my phone starts blowing up. Well, you should have said this, and I wanted to say, I said, why didn't you call in? Hey, yeah, man. So here, you go ahead and hang in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you really have people that call you and tell you that?
Oh, absolutely. Every day.
Unbelievable.
Not, every day, Brown.
Because you have a very liberal policy about letting people call in and speak.
But
you
people are still
heard.
Afraid. They're still afraid to talk on the air. That's all
and
it
they
is.
Then they should just stop complaining and let those of us that aren't afraid express our opinions.
Well, that's what we do here, and we make it a barbershop conversation. That's why we don't just get one call and hang up and go to another. Although if we get too many in there, I have to do that. And sometimes we do that. But by and large, being across the nation, now it's probably going to get like that here shortly because of some things that are getting ready to happen with the show, et cetera, et cetera. But we love doing this, and we love creating the atmosphere, even though it's argumentative at times. There's a lot that's being able to be gleaned out of discussing what's going on. And that's what people don't do. They don't discuss things. They don't discuss race. They don't discuss, certain parts of religion, this, that, and the other. And because of it, people are in the dark. They don't know.
Well, race is a really hard subject to discuss.
But you see, but here's the thing. Because on this show we have about four different ethnicities, we can do it. Because nobody's mad at each other. Okay, 330-831, you're in air.
Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
Hold on, D. 831. No, 831 is who I want. That's you, D.
Okay. All right. Hi, Jeff. How are you? I was
good. How are
listening,
you?
And I am well, thanks. I wanted to bring up another conversation that I don't think you've – I mean, it's about working. There's always the option, until it's completely destroyed in America, to start your own business. When you are unhappy with the wage you receive, think of a skill, develop a service that someone needs, and create your own job. Be your own boss. Make your own hourly wage. I don't hear anybody calling about that.
No, you don't. And guess what? There's two things that I was going to do at one time, but I just don't like cooking that much. Mm-hmm. I cook at home, and I get into it when I do, but I don't just care for it. And that was I wanted to do a particular catfish that my brother-in-law made. He makes an excellent catfish, and whenever he comes this way, man, people line up at the house to have him make catfish. Man, I was going to do that. And then think about it. Think about it. Doggone it. You got hot dogs and hamburgers that people love all the time. Why don't you do your own hot dog hamburger and only have about three of them?
Right now, cookies, and it's Christmas. Cookies and candy recipes and... I mean, you're not going to probably, it's going to be a struggle. You're probably going to have, but you could make some money through the holidays.
Right.
I mean, it is out there. It is out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mother's barbecue sauce is to die for, but I just can't make it.
Yeah.
Right.
I
don't hear much about that.
I'll tell you one thing. I had a friend of mine, a female friend at one time, took my mother's barbecue sauce and was bottling it and selling it. I was hot. I was burning up hot, boy. I'm going to just tell you. Go ahead.
Didn't you have a host or a guest on your show that actually took his mother's, and I think it was the prepper book, he took his mother or grandmother's ideas put them together in a book, and he now sells it for $39.95 a piece.
That makes sense,
and I
right?
believe it's Dr. I think it's Dr. Prepper, and he was on Tracy's show.
Oh, okay, the Prepper, he definitely was no joke.
He took the ideas, I think he said, from his mother or grandmother.
Okay, hold on one second, Dee. Yeah, hold on, Dee. Don't go nowhere. Go ahead, local caller, because
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good, bro.
I just want to say, man, that if somebody is making $7.25 in this area, you know, they might be doing halfway decent. But if somebody is making $7.25 up in Cleveland and New York, man, listen, I lived in Cleveland, and the cost of living up there is a lot higher than
true.
And they hit. And I just want to – the question I want to ask you is, what do you think the minimum wage rate should be? You don't think there should be – I'm not trying to be
the reason why I think that it should not go any further right now is because of this. Minimum wage is sometimes way above the ground level of productivity. In other words, the person working at $10 an hour that's only really worth $7 an hour, you're $3 in the hole just by hiring them. And so $3 an hour in the hole for hiring them. And so, therefore, you're trying to be as efficient as you can and catch up to make money with your business, your idea, the thing you own, and then you're held hostage by somebody that may not even produce $7 an hour, but you got to pay $10 if they raise this wage.
Oh, yeah.
I was
going to say, if McDonald's raises minimum wage to $12 an hour, you can kiss the dollar menu goodbye.
Yes, right. It's going to be the $5 menu.
Yeah.
But what I was saying the other day was that, I mean, do you think they're gonna raise the minimum wage up without checking to see whether or not all these employers is making money? They have got to be making money from their product because if inflation is going up, then people are paying more for the product. That's the point I was trying to get at the other day, but you know, we got cut off.
Uh huh. Well, here's the thing: inflation is going up. There's no doubt about it. And by the time next year comes around, when they finish this TARP and all of this, you're going to see what inflation really is. And see, you can't print that much money and expect there not to be any inflation.
I think what they're going to have to do is, if they do raise the minimum wage up, it's going to have to be something with it, like a price freeze, like we was talking about the other day, a price freeze on the rate of inflation or something. It's going to have to be some other clause with it, or employers should not be allowed to just fire people like that. You know, it's got to be something else.
Well,
they're going to have to implement along with that raise up of
inflation.
Right, it's going to be something. It's got to be something else with it. They can't just do it and just throw people out there because, like you said, people might wind up losing their jobs behind it, man.
Well, the one thing that I'll say here is like this: the rate of inflation is going to hit, and when that happens, it's not going to be about businesses firing people. It's going to be about businesses going out of business because they're not going to be able to stand. And only the big box, big ticket, huge conglomerations that can absorb a lot of that will be the ones still in business. Why do you think Walmart is doing as good as it is and was during the recession? Because they could afford to do it.
Well, I think they're going to have to do some research on if it was me, I would be like, well, let's see whether or not the average company can withstand paying
They already know that, dog. They know it.
You don't think so? You don't think they need to check that out?
No, they know. They know who's going to be able to stand and who's not going to be able to stand. That's why they're doing it. You have to understand, people think that just because somebody was elected president or governor or mayor or whatever it is, that they have your interest in their heart.
But this is what I'm talking about. It seemed that them people up in Washington, D.C., they got the most brilliant minds in the world.
Some of them.
They don't.
Real. And I'm just talking. Do you think they would raise the minimum wage up knowing it would be wrong for them knowing or not even knowing that it's going to cause businesses to go out of
Yes, they know it, and they want it anyway.
Mindset. That's what Progressive does.
That don't sound right to me. I don't think they would go that route.
That's the progressive mindset.
You're raising the minimum wage up knowing that it's going to run people out of business.
Do you believe that there's a people that out here that believe that there should be two classes of people? One is a very wealthy class, ruling class, and then one is a very poor class.
I believe it's people like that. But,
okay, well, that's what you have in the White House right now. He's a progressive, and that's what they believe.
They don't want a middle
class. From what I,
middle class, just like the man just said. No middle class is going to be the ruling class and everybody else.
I don't want to get locked off into a war of words, Jeff, but I did hear Obama say that he was trying to bring the middle class back up because the middle class
is
in the middle. You know what I'm saying? The middle class is meant to stabilize everything because they're next to the rich and they're next to the poor. That's why they want the middle class back.
They don't want the middle class back or they wouldn't be killing the middle class.
They want the middle class gone.
He just got rid of tens of thousands of jobs in the coal industry, period.
Those are middle class.
Gone.
Not to get off to a word of war, but four words. I do remember him saying that he wanted to bring the middle class back up.
You're right.
No, you don't.
And elitists don't want that. They want two classes. Just because he said it doesn't mean he's not lying to you. And that's what I'm trying to tell you.
You have something in the middle there, Jeff, to balance the scale.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Well, Let me ask you a question. Do you think fair that companies and corporations like Walmart, that a good majority of their people are subsidized, their incomes are subsidized by the government, by taxpayer money?
It doesn't have anything to do with anything because business is business. This is the This is the land of equal opportunity, not equal outcomes. The thing
if these people were being paid a much better wage, how many?
It doesn't matter, Diva. You can't put up somebody's wage for the hell of it. You have to have a reason for doing what you're doing.
Cost of living is a reason. I think that's a good enough reason.
I always wonder why y'all keep beating up on Diva. The reason why they're doing it is because people cannot live at the rate that the minimum wage is paying. They just can't do that. I mean, it just can't.
So what is their impetus? So what should they do? Yeah.
I think they should go from city to city and state to state and see at what rate will people be able to make it at the minimum wage. If you come up with
minimum wage is not meant for you
choice.
To make it on. My daughter. Look, my daughter comes and works for minimum wage when she comes home from college.
I'm just giving you my point, brother.
But what I'm saying, minimum wage is not meant to live on.
No.
Your daughter's circumstances are completely different. It cannot
be compared to someone
a different situation.
It should be the state's choice. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It should be
the federal government should not tell people how much to pay because they don't know the cost of living in that state. It varies from state to state.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, it does. Hey, I got to get off the phone.
All right, my brother. Thanks a lot. 626, you're in there.
Oh, hey, Jeff and everybody else.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say as far as the minimum wage, if you keep raising it, what about the rest of us that work in the private sector? Where's my raise? I'm serious, you know, because out here in California, the cost of living is high. But if you raise the minimum wage, my wage stays the same. So how am I going to survive?
That's a very good point, because that's what I feel the same way.
And that's not fair. That's the case. Then I'll just get unemployed then and make more money.
That's the whole key behind it. They want things to be, they always talk about this fairness thing, and you know, life is not fair. Come on.
Yeah, there's no such thing as one size fits all.
Yeah,
and
I hate to bring this up, but it is, people do make choices in life that sometimes make them fall behind in life.
Absolutely.
So I don't know whose responsibility is it
backup life
to bring them back up. I mean, is it my responsibility to do that? I'm a single parent.
It's your own responsibility. It's your own responsibility.
Exactly. That's why I only had one child. Because I know with layoffs and things going off, I have to travel light. That's why I have one child. That's why I don't have a lot of debt.
That's why these one-size-fits-all solutions don't work.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
What do you do?
Well, what do you do is, like I said, first of all, people have to be more engaged. What I like about what's going on over in Africa primarily is those people understand what's going on politically.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? We can't compare different countries to the United States because over here we have so many different cultures. It's
yeah, but we used to be.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, but we used to be a people that knew. That's my point. We used to be a people that basically knew what was going on. Now, that's our big problem. We don't have anybody that knows anything. We have people
yeah.
that are in the dark. They don't read. They don't watch the news. They don't really read the paper. They will listen to one of the talking heads on one of the networks. And if you're in one of the big five, you're only going to hear one side.
Yeah, and see, and that's the thing, too, because I try to keep up with the news and everything like that, but to be totally
right.
honest with you, it gets confusing. I turn on CNN, they tell me one thing. I turn on Fox News, I hear something else. So I'm trying to, and I'm stuck in the middle, as usual, trying to figure out who to vote for and who's right and who's wrong.
Vote for who's talking about doing the things that are best going to benefit you being able to go get what you need for yourself.
And
that's,
I don't really see anybody, to be honest. The Republicans, I don't see a viable candidate.
And the Democrats, I don't see anybody either.
Okay, I'll check them out and see what they have to offer because it's getting crazy, I'm telling you.
Gary Johnson.
Too many people voting with their hearts and not their minds.
Exactly. It's emotional. Everything is on emotion.
Especially when it comes, especially when it comes to my people, African American people, we vote our emotions.
Everybody, Jeff. Everybody responds.
Yeah,
to,
I can't. You know,
everybody responds to emotions. I've taken complex sales courses that say people buy things emotionally and they defend
impulsively.
But they defend their emotional purchase or decision based on logic. If you, I think Alabama brought up Edward Bernays before, who was Sigmund Freud's nephew, who understood and developed training programs to get companies to get people to impulse them to buy or want a particular product, and you appeal to emotions. If anybody who was an expert at it in the political realm, it would be someone like Karl Rove. Who's an evil genius, but he's still a genius nonetheless.
You know what? Thanks for saying it like that because it's like this. You know, there's a guy that he was a progressive as well, Democrat, blah, blah, blah. But I thought he was wise enough that I would vote for him because I thought that he would at least have the welfare of the people, and he ended up getting killed, and that was Ron Brown. I thought Ron Brown was brilliant, okay, and I would have voted for him had he ever got that far. And believe you me, I believe he would have got that far. But see, those are the things. Now I am a conservative, no doubt about it. You know, I am a conservative, but you know, you have to be somewhat pragmatic at certain times. If you're not going to get exactly what you want in, then you're going to have to make do with what the best is out there, and that's what I would do. I would have put him in there. I don't like Feinstein politics, but she's a brilliant woman.
That
woman's
that?
Smart.
I don't like her at
Feinstein.
All. I really.
I understand.
I really dislike her more lately.
But I mean, well, to me, I think that she's trying to be party line and pragmatic at the same time because she was on that committee with the nuclear weapons and the terrorism thing as well.
She's a billionaire. She's in favor of NSA spying. She's
That's the negative.
That's a lot. She's a billionaire. She's probably a part of the Council of Foreign Relations. She's a highly connected person.
CFR. Brown, we're going to do that.
Go ahead.
We're going to do that one day. We're going to do CFR stuff and things like that, because I have a ton of information on that, and I have a good friend out of Florida.
You better believe she's aligned with the program and not looking out for the
So is what we have in there right now. He's absolutely in line with it. So I mean,
in there before him and before him and before him.
You're right.
That's just the way that it is.
You're absolutely right.
And that's why people here on the grassroots or on the, you know, regular people like all of us are sitting here arguing and fighting about food stamps and minimum wage and stuff.
Exactly.
Really, you know, yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, anyway, in the last waning minutes of our program here, I'm going to ask the question of people. Is it any wonder to anybody out there? And 626, you got to stop your background noise. It's too loud for us. It's interfering with our broadcast quality. So I can't keep you in if you're going to have that back noise. I'm going to try you again and see if you can get a little more quiet. The things that are happening, Detroit is bankrupt, and the next major city to do the same is going to be Chicago. Does that surprise anyone out there?
That much corruption, not at all.
What'd you say, Alex?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, but I could tell you I would tell you what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Democrats are going to set up. They're setting up the Republicans, so Republicans got to be ready for this. Because, Detroit's, they're going bankrupt. And not just Chicago, but there are – I'm willing to bet you there are probably at least a dozen other cities.
Absolutely.
That are just waiting to see what the outcome is, because this is – because they're thinking this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, you know, this whole bankruptcy deal. And so I think the rest of the country, other cities are just sitting back and watching. And what they're going to do is as soon as the Democrats are leaving office in 2016 and Republicans come in, they're going to be hit with like 15 different bankruptcies. Like, these Republicans, you see what they did?
Yep.
It's going to happen.
They do it every time.
Unless you vote for a libertarian, you see, that's the only way you could get out of this trap is if you vote libertarian. That's the only party that has no stake in any of this. And they're the only people that can clean this mess up the way it should be. So that's all I got to say about it.
I wonder how New York City is really doing financially.
New York City?
Yeah.
Well, I really don't know.
Cities and most cities are not going to be doing well. It's all interdependent. It's all connected.
I mean, yeah, they're doing good. They all say they're doing good, but
you tell the public that until the you know what hits the fan.
Well, I think it's about to do that. I think it's about to do that.
Well, let's hope not. But life will go on.
Well, yeah, life will go on. But you know, I have a hard time, dealing and trusting my self to. What is that noise in the background? I'm getting a heck of a feedback. From somewhere. Now it stopped. Now it's gone. Thank you, whoever did that. I'm watching, you know, people that believe that there's too many people on the face of the earth, and they also believe that we've got
we're warming the earth, you know, to the point that it's, you know, ice caps are melting. Did anybody see?
I can't tell in the past week.
Wait. This is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard, because I'm going to say this. Did anybody see that Al Gore's main supplier of information and organizer was fired from the university that he worked for the other day?
Well, it's not because his theory was right or wrong.
Yes, it was, because he lied about the polar bears.
Man, I feel there's sorry more for those polar bears. I really feel sorry for those polar bears on a little piece, on a little ice cube, a big 400
wait a minute.
Or 800
wait a minute.
Pound polar bear. That
but
touched
that's a
my
lie.
Heart, polar bears.
That is, yeah, but it's a lie. It ain't. That's not even happening. The
those
ice cap. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, those polar bears helped stage those pictures.
They were in
on the scam.
Listen, a polar bear roll over on his back and float to the next place that he needs to go. He is not worried or caring. The polar bears don't have no problems. And the thing is there's more of them now than there has ever been since they've been counting. And that's the problem.
What about those skinny polar bears that I saw?
You didn't see no skinny polar bears.
I did. They show skinny
polar
bears. Yeah,
brown.
They show polar bears like on a tile of ice, a big 800-pound polar bear. All I'm saying is this. I don't know what's true and what's not true anymore. They've got so much information and stuff out here on both sides of so many arguments that if you have any type of open mind at all, you just get more and more confused.
Like
the more information there's out there, I don't know what's what anymore.
Like I said, somebody tell my ferns about global warming because they don't think it's degrees right now because it's running right now.
It's kind of working overtime, ain't it?
Yeah, right.
Mine is, I tell you what, man, bring it on because I want to see 70 right now, okay? 70 degrees
right now.
Don't come
to California.
Nah, I know because you guys are cold out there.
It was 25 degrees this morning. I know
might
sound like a joke to some of you, but that's really cold. No, really, that's like record cold. It hasn't been that cold, and it's cold in Los Angeles too. In fact, here I am, where I am in Northern California, on Sunday night around 11 o'clock, it was 30 degrees where I am, and it was 32 degrees in New York City. How about that?
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know,
I can move to
Palo Alto and live happily ever after. I'm just telling you.
Well, yeah, it would be. It's not as extreme. I've been in Ohio in the winter, and it's.
But
you're further up north. You're closer to Canada. I know it must be really cold there.
I'm just saying it's beautiful down there. Well, it's not as cold there as it is in Cleveland, which is only 60 miles away, but Cleveland is right off of Lake Erie. And
okay.
So that wind and that cold blows across that lake, and it does not play. There
well,
in Chicago, too.
Can I ask
Mr.
Brown Beasley a question? I need to
ask you.
How do you survive in California? Because I have companies that's trying to get me to come out there, and I'm looking at the cost of living. And, you know, I'm looking at just, you know, $3,000 just for a decent, you know, house or apartment. And
yeah, I don't pay that much, and I've got a real cool place. Housing hasn't always been this expensive. This really increase in housing from like 2000 on up. The housing thing is relatively new. Other than that, I mean, that's anybody's major expense. You know, that's relatively new, and it's caused a lot of people to make adjustments. You know, a lot of people have moved out of cities and areas. A lot of people have sold their homes. Some were lucky enough to sell at a nice profit before the collapse, and they've moved to Texas. I have friends that have moved all over to Kansas. I got a friend that bought a farm in Kansas.
Wow.
He went from a city guy to being a farmer. No, it has changed a lot of people's life. And then some people, you know,
How can I afford it? Just afford it. Because there's some advantages to living here too. This is kind of where you're from. It's beautiful. I don't know. I don't know. It's different. I mean, I at this stage of my life, I've learned to adjust, and I could probably function and be relatively happy just about anywhere. But I wouldn't want to live in a lot of places that I wouldn't want to live when I was younger because it subtracted from, you know, a lot of the things that I like to do. But I don't know where you're seeing, you know, I don't know where you're seeing as a minimum $3,000 a month to live.
No, I'm not saying a minimum. I was looking at Southern California between L.A. and San Diego, and not a minimum, but I would say, because here you could get, say, a good 3 or 4 bedroom between, I'd say, 900 to high end is 1,200. But when I look there,
that's Florida.
Yeah, here in Orlando, Florida. But I look there, and it starts out at like 1,800, and
well,
it goes up to 3,000.
If you're talking between Los Angeles and San Diego, and if you're talking, you know, anywhere 20 to 25 miles, you know, inland, you're talking about some of the, you know, most expensive prime real estate, and also some of the nice places to live in the world weather-wise. And that's highly populated. So you're talking about all, you know, Orange County, Newport Beach, Laguna, all through there. And there's some really, it's a very desirable place to live. If you wanted to live someplace cheaper in that area, you would just go further inland. If you were, you know, 40 miles inland, you're in the middle of the desert, and it gets a lot cheaper. But it's, you know, you might get 120, you might get 115 out there. No, so that's basically what you have. If you're going to be along the coast, you know, 20 miles, you know, 10, 15 miles within the coast, which is where most of the population live, you're going to live around, you know, much more affluent. It's going to be much nicer and therefore much expensive. And it would probably cut in half the housing what you would cost to live if you went further inland. But you're going to be living around the, you know, you're going to be living in the desert. And many people do.
Yeah, many people do. But one thing I did like about California is it's just beautiful. I mean, the state is beautiful, and I enjoyed every minute of sightseeing there. You know, I had the chance to travel from up there at Oakland down to L.A. and never got below L.A. Well, I got out to Orange County, so I don't know whether that's how
that's
below
LA,
L.A. that
south.
Is. Yeah.
South.
But Placentia, I had a friend that was in lived in Placentia, and we used to go visit him, you know, a couple times. And beautiful, beautiful country. But
there's some real incredible beauty. I mean, there's all types of recreation as far as skiing and the beach and there's a lot. There's things that I haven't done. You know, I haven't been to Yosemite. I've been to Lake Tahoe a couple of times now, which is really kind of Nevada, California. And last year, for the first time ever, I drove all the way up the one. And if that's not the most beautiful, exhilarating thing I've done, that compares to going any place in Europe or anywhere
in the
world.
What did you say? You drove up 101?
Up the one, yeah, the coastal thing. And, you know, it takes 12 hours to do that from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Made the drive millions of other times on the five. It's not as nice. So yeah, no, there's some beauty here, but there's lots of problems here, just like there are everywhere else.
Oh, of course there is, but I tell you what, I wish we had some people that believed in the country again, and I think that day is over with for us, and I'm sorry that it is, and I'm just hoping that. Somehow, some way, we'll be able to change that up. But I don't know. I don't know what we're headed for right now.
The bright side, like I do.
Well, looking at the bright side,
40 years, the great majority of us that are on this show and listening on the lines are not going to be here anymore.
Well, I told some people that. Then my father, before he left, before he passed away, he told me, he said, he was looking at the news, and he said, Jeff, I want to go home. And he said, I said, well, I'll get you, you know, I'm going to get you out of here, because he was in a facility at that particular moment. And he said, no. He said, I want to go home and be with the Lord. He said,
my grandfather
came
back. I don't. He wouldn't recognize this country. He died.
Oh,
91.
Man.
He died 91.
Yeah. I know that's right.
He was a World War II veteran, and all the whole nine yards, a steel worker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just
he said he didn't
accent.
Want to see the things that came up, that are coming on the earth that these people are doing out here.
He just couldn't believe it.
He just said he couldn't believe it, and you know that profoundly affected me, because you know we're seeing people turn and change and go with things that they never would have really gone for before. They never would have done it. Who said? I mean. Throughout history, yeah, you've had people messing with kids and things like that. I can agree. But to the degree that it is now, to where they're screwing these kids and killing them and throwing their bodies away, that stuff is sick. And we have to start thinking, how and why did this happen?
He would say, what in God's name happened to y'all people?
Yeah. There was this what's the cartoon name? Boondocks. They had Martin Luther King coming back and walking down a big city street.
Named after him.
Named after him. He said, "Is this what the hell that I died for?" But you guys, oh man, this was crazy. Oh, well, we're at the end of our day. Everybody, I thank you for tuning in. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Tracy should be back tomorrow. But the show will go on, whatever happens if she's not back. She's very busy right now. This is this changeover time of year. But she sends her love, and guess what? We love you guys, and we're glad you called in. Thanks for the argument, and thanks for learning, because I learned a lot from you guys, and I hope that you learned something from what we do here as well. So we will see you back tomorrow.
This is Henry Nemmons, inviting you to shop Nemmons IGA on the square in Canfield, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza, or Creed Street in Struthers. Nemmons IGA meats are USDA choice. Nemmons Bakery makes all cakes from scratch, the very best Italian bread in town. Nemmons IGA.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from